stages in darkness and clear. We're raising the curtain, and no one's quite certain who's played it. If we'd known just how right we were going to be. For we dreamed a lot, and we schemed a lot, and we tried to sing of love before the stage fell apart.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, October 21st, 2019. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, go to National Liberty Alliance and click on Weekly Conference Call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to ask a question through the email, you can ask us through questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Again, that's questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find the banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save America. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, tonight's scripture reading, I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. We're reading the Gospel of Mark. We just finished chapter 5. Okay, we're reading the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And he, Jesus, went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach the synagogues. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this that is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and in Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor but in his own country, and among his own kin, and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the village teaching. And he called on him the 12, and began to send them forth by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet, for a testimony against them. Truly I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. It was the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Okay, am I coming through okay? Testing 1, 2. Anybody hear me? Terry?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of losing my board. It just slipped back up. Are you having a problem with your board going on, you know, flickering on and off?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, me too. So I'm kind of flying blind a little bit here. But okay, well, we'll go forward. Let's see. Tonight, we don't have a particular plan tonight. I've been busy doing a lot of papers and just didn't get together during this week to prepare anything to look into specifically. But next week, I think I'm going to try to do a PowerPoint, providing we don't have a problem like this. But we may try to do a PowerPoint over this and focusing in on the committeeman and how to become a committeeman, something we want to start to spend a little time on over the course of the next month. Beginning next year, coming into January, we want to start the process of a committeeman and start taking back control of the political process. Of course, in order to complete that, we have to win in the courts, and of course we do have a very good plan, and maybe we'll discuss that in more detail on the specifics in the next week or two. But we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, I guess, do we have any questions or any announcements to be made, Terry? Yeah, if you're talking, you're muted, so we don't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay, I don't have any announcements that I'm aware of.
Okay.
But I do have one question from the field.
Okay.
That came through questions in LA.
All right.
You want me to ask that question?
Yep, go right ahead.
Okay, it comes from, let's see, How do you know what court to file what proceeding? In other words, if my employer caused me harm, injury, loss, and damage, and that damage is in excess of $1 million, where would I find this claim? Where would I file this claim?
Well, that would really be in your state court within your county. You know, I know county courts here in New York, they're limited up to, I think, $3,000. And anything over that, you then have to get into, over here in New York, we call it the Supreme Court, The Supreme Court is in every county in New York. I know they have different names for these courts in different states. So, again, I don't know. What state did they say they were from? Did they make a statement of a state?
I don't have a state, no.
Okay, no state. Yeah, and I wouldn't know anyway unless they told us particularly how those courts run. But that's where it would be filed. It would be filed in the state court. Every county has a state court. And, you know, the federal district courts have, you know, at least one federal district court within a state. Some states have as many as four. New York has four, for instance. I think California only has, not California, well, even California, pretty big state. I think they only have four also. And Texas is pretty big. I'm not sure how many are in Texas. There may be more than four in Texas. It's pretty big, but that's federal. Anyway, again, you'd have to go into the state court. Filing a paper, you know, again, you'll have to know how to file a paper and go in pro se, unless you're going to get a lawyer, then of course they would do it all for you. And, you know, so I don't know how they particularly plan on going in to make an argument there. All right. Anyway, did you see Brent? Is Brent in tonight?
I'm sorry, I got this. What was the question?
Yeah, did you see Brent? Is he on tonight? Did you see him?
I can't tell right now. Yeah. Brent, if you're there, unmute yourself and say hi.
Well, if he came in as a, he didn't come in as a, you know, a host, because it's only you and me as the hosts, so I don't see him. Usually he signs in as a host. If he just called in, just hit star six to get into the queue, and we'll pull you from there. But anyway, he's got the ability to come in as a host, and I don't see him. So,
okay. All right.
We're going to go directly to questions tonight. Again, I don't have a particular subject, so we'll go straight into questions, and hopefully next week we'll put something together. We've got a lot of paperwork going on, a lot of things going on behind the scenes that we're going to hopefully be able to talk about soon, but we can't talk yet on that. Not sure which way things are going to go. But when the time comes, we will start talking about them. It looks like some exciting things coming down the pike, we hope. Okay, let's take our first caller, I guess. Again, anybody wants to get into the queue, ask a question or make a comment, star six, and then I think they ask for one, same as the last one. So let's go with Sean in Arizona. Go ahead, Sean. You got the mic.
Hi, John. Yeah, I've just got a general question regarding, so I've got the joinder proceeding and hadn't heard from Jim in a bit. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's been pretty busy, tied down, but I think he's close to being caught up. I know I sent a lot of papers to him over the past weekend. I think it was, we've been talking on, you know, Thursday and Friday and then a little bit over the weekend. I got some papers to him over the weekend, so I don't know if your papers came through me to get to him to go to you or what, but in any event, yeah, he's doing okay.
Good, just making sure. So I've got an appeal, I guess, real generally. When somebody does an appeal, would it make sense to go with the special appearance, common law, court of record? Or is the idea?
Well, look, not on an appeal. If you're trying to bide time, you can do an appeal. The first thing you'd want to do, though, before doing an appeal, really, is to ask for a reconsideration by a panel of judges. A reconsideration, in any case, is normal, okay? And you have two choices. You can ask the judge that made that last decision to reconsider, and he'll make believe and spend a month or two before he answers you. He already knows he's going to say the same thing. So, but at least if you go to a panel of judges, you know, again, they're going to take a few months too to make a decision, read the case, and go through it. But you're better off going through a panel, at least a different group of people. But you're likely to get the same results, especially. You know, the more and more I study and see what's going on and becomes more obvious. I mean, we have to realize they have done away with the Constitution. That's a serious statement, but it's an absolute truth. They have done away with the Constitution. Hold on a minute. Anyway, they've done away with the Constitution. Hard to believe. I don't know how that happened.
It's hard to believe when I realized it myself, and they certainly have. And so that's where we're at. And as you said, buying time or maybe finding somebody either on the panel or in the higher court that might look at some of this stuff and go, yeah, you know, they certainly didn't provide any untainted 12, and there's been no due process, and, you know, have a heart or a conscience. But in the interim, while we're putting all these things together and proceeding with NLA, so your suggestion or the idea then is to not push the court of record and the
something just happened, John.
Yeah, a lot of things are going on here, and I don't understand it either. What are you saying? I got pop-ups coming in here and camera things or something. I don't know. It never happened before. All right, anyway, go ahead, Sean. You were saying?
Yeah, just checking on the how to proceed side. If you know, if you wanted to have the best possibility of getting somebody honest behind the curtain there.
You know, it's going to be very, very difficult. They're all status quo. And, you know, my attitude about them at this point going into court is just revealing the fraud right in front of their face right there. I mean, I've always tried to kind of do it subtly, especially in a federal court. But it just gets to that point. They're all playing such a game. They know exactly what they're doing. And I want to tell you something. They fear what we are doing. Okay, they fear the people finding out, and they think we're really stupid because we're very ignorant to our heritage. We're very ignorant to the law. We're very ignorant to the political process. We're very ignorant to how all this stuff works. We're ignorant to of our founding fathers, who they are, and what really happened, to bring this nation together. Some of us got bits and pieces, but they've been destroying our schools as long as we've been alive. But in 1934, with the Rules Enabling Act that took place in 1938, when they finally finished writing those rules, and we spoke about this over the past weeks particularly, which is Rule 2, which is that where they fuse together both equity and law and call it civil law or civil action under civil law. That's totally different than what our Constitution says. Civil law has nothing to do with the courts of laws of justice, has nothing to do with equity, and yet they pulled that together and call it that. We don't even have a clue on the jurisdictions that we go into. They totally make it up as we go. I just see them constantly, you know, saying this here and contradicting themselves over there that. They know what they're doing. They're guilty of sin. They're guilty of subversion. They're tyrants. And in my opinion, they need to go to jail. And, this is subversion against our Constitution, against we the people. And every single federal judge absolutely knows this. And I believe all the state judges know. Maybe the judges down in the town courts and the village courts, they're not even educated in any way usually. So they don't know nothing about the law. And they just get elected and really follow the lead of the prosecutor, who's a bar attorney who has subverted the law as much as anyone else. They've been taught that common law has been abrogated. We're under Roman law, and you get conflicting things from those people, too. They don't even know what they're doing or what they're talking about. But they don't go according to the rules. They constantly throw you out. I've been involved with hundreds of cases, literally hundreds of cases on the federal level, state level, town level, even the county level, village level, and it's always the same thing. No justice anywhere. Once in a while, you can get something through. If you got you could put the judge sort of in a corner, because you always have to go in fighting the judge first. The people that have never been in courts, they have no clue on how serious this is and how bad it is. There is no constitution. Back in 2000, early 2000, Robert Schultz with We the People, you know, he pushed a case all the way through the Supreme Court, got up to the United States Supreme Court in 2008 with the question, do we still have courts of law? They refuse to answer. What kind of people are these? If anything is fraudulent, if they're guilty of anything, they're guilty right there. They're guilty of treason. Refusing to answer and being silent is fraud. And in this case, it's guilty of treason because they're not doing anything about it. You know, we here, with through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, we have reported for 3 years, more than 3 years actually, but 3 years really hardcore, with papers, making the point concerning, you know, the courts, and they answer nothing, absolutely nothing. So it's really difficult to win. We have to come in numbers. We have to come in the way we're coming in, only by joining cases and dealing with dealing with the jurisdiction that we have no clue what they're bringing us into, but they are really taking us into jurisdictions unknown. So we challenge those jurisdictions. We also go after them with the fact that they have violated our unalienable rights of due process, and they won't even say those words. You know, I've used those words, or I've had lawyers or even judges read the papers and see the word unalienable, and they say, oh, unalienable, you know. But they like that word civil, because if you've got civil rights come from the states. You can't cover this up if you really go and look into the dictionary, into the Black's Law, into the Brouwer's. Just read about what's going on. Civil law is clearly has nothing to do with courts of record. It has nothing to do with common law. It's Babylonian law, straight and through. It's the law of the state, the municipal, or the municipality, and it's to control the citizens. That's what it is, and that's what they've got. And nobody in office is talking about this. And we've been revealing this in office, too, for, you know, people in office for a long time. But, you know, again, there's going to be that some point we'll get that critical mass. I don't think it's too far away. The key to the critical mass, ultimately, is really being, you know, getting to that point where a lot of the patriots become aware of us. But when the deep state, when the big arrests start, that's when the power void is going to take place. And that's when I think we'll hit critical mass. Unless we have someone with some really big dollars that wants to really put money into this thing and push it ahead, we can go a lot faster. But, you know, we're moving at a pace that I think is good. It allows us to grow and allows us to learn. But at some point, you know, that critical mass will happen. And so when the deep state finally collapses, you see, we've been knocking and banging on their doors for years. We've been doing this since the year 2000. And National Liberty Alliance has been involved with this since, goodness, 2000. And, goodness, I think we started with the committee men back in 2009. But then we went over to the deal with the court, to the grand jury, I think it was 2013. So we've been dealing with this for a while. We've been sending papers, strong papers, at least the last 3 years, very, very powerful. We've been, so to speak, nailing it to the door. Okay, we're telling them the truth. We're telling them that they're frauds. We're telling them that they have subverted the Constitution, that they are guilty and they need to do something. We're constantly telling, if anybody's reading the papers that we're writing and sending in, you understand that's what we're doing. Now, they feel reasonably comfortable because they do not believe that the deep state's going to go down. They, you know, because Trump has been president now for almost 3 years. He's got another year left. He'll probably get the next term. They're trying like heck to try to get him on something. Can't find nothing on him, of course. And so, you know, but they have this feeling where they think that they can hold on and just get past this presidency, and then they can fix things up and take back control and do those things. That's their attitude. The judges still have the protection. You know, there is a wall, okay, a wall of protection around them, and that wall is the deep state. And as long as they have that wall of protection, they'll maintain the status quo. They won't fear nothing, and they don't care. But when that wall is gone, they're going to be running for the hills, because we've been pinning the truth on their doors, like I said, really hardcore in the last 3 years particularly. Robert Schultz has done it too, and he's with the We the People, and he's taken them to tasks for quite a few years, and even went into the court, right up to the Supreme Court, who refused to answer. Do we still have law? That's the question. Do we still have the law of the land? And they will not answer that question. That makes them guilty of sin. And so, like I say, you know, once that wall of protection disappears, okay, fear is going to run through them. Right now, they're a little nervous because we got a lot of things going on. We got a lot of papers filed. And we're telling the truth for everyone to hear. We're filing it everywhere, so it's everywhere. But they still feel protected. But that day will come to an end. So until then, you know, nothing. But fighting in court is difficult. If you are fighting, if you're not fighting against the status quo, if you're not fighting against the government, you're not fighting against a big corporation, you might have a good chance in court. So.
Yeah, they've gotten away with it too long, that's for certain. And I don't know. It certainly seems like until the central bank issue is resolved, which they just keep printing money, and that keeps the status quo, and that keeps everybody fat and happy and high on the hog. And that's guys like us are just gnats at this point. So we need a swarm of gnats. We need a few hundred thousand. But that would certainly raise some eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, not Franklin. I thought it was Franklin, but it's not. It was Jefferson who said, we do not have a government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. So if we can get 15,000 people participating in the political side of things, we can take over the political process. If we can get about 15,000 people participating in as court administrators, we can take over the courts. And of course, that's our goal. You know, and we don't really need that many to take over the political process. We actually only need maybe one or two people in every state, because they're operating, they have what's called the executive committee. The executive committee is not an elected group of people. They're in there. It's a club. It's a private corporation. It's a private club called the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. And so it's private associations. They serve the party. They don't serve the people. And they always do the will of the party. You listen to see what Trump is doing concerning the war in his last particular down in Texas, his speech down in Texas. And the people want our people home. They want to get out of war, stop war. We've been out there 19, 20 years in the Middle East, actually longer than that, but really hardcore in the past 19, 20 years. And it's not going anywhere. All we do is kill our kids in that war, and there's nothing to gain. We're constantly flipping sides. It's just a dumb thing. Why are we there? Why do some of these Republicans still want us to be there? Okay, why? You know, again, there's a game going on. It's all about control, and it's the party will and desire, and that's what they're going to serve. They're not going to serve the people. They're going to serve the party. But those private associations have stolen a political process. We tried to take it back here in New York. We did it properly. We even took it into court. We couldn't get it through the courts. The courts wouldn't hear us. But we did take it back, you know, as far as the law is concerned, but the courts are unlawful. Matter of fact, that's what led us to here where we're at right now, because we were going into the courts back then. And so fighting in the court to get the committee men the authority and the power, the elected committee men, they won't let it go through. But in a federal court, Once the deep state collapses, and we access into the federal court, because then they're going to have those who are left are going to have to behave and believe and uphold the Constitution, the oath that they took. They all took an oath. They're all breaking their oath. They're all guilty. And but they're going to have to uphold it. And so once we win the federal courts and take control and get our courts of record back, then we open up a court of record and sue every state for the power and the authority to give them back to the committeemen. And all you need is one elected committeeman in every state, just one, and that person gets to appoint everyone throughout the state because there's only one elected committeeman. Now, we want a lot more than that, of course, but I'm just making a point that it could be done with just a small handful. I'd say 4 or 5 people in the state can become the executive committee and then appoint people and then start teaching them the things that we're teaching here at National Liberty Alliance and making them to come to understand what's really been going on and what the power and the authority of the committee man is, what their duty is, and that they're to make sure that they get people who are, know the Constitution and take their oath seriously. Those are the people we want in office. And when they find out that they have the power even to recall those who don't do the will of the people, within their election, subdivisions, that's power and that's authority and that belongs to the people in the grassroots. We can give it back to them. So we could teach them, the right way to go, get rid of the status quo leadership and teach them how to become elected. And once the people go into this system as elected committeemen, then the people in the grassroots will take control. But we don't want people taking control that are uneducated in our process and our system and our law and our constitution. We need to learn these things and we need to get it back into the schools so we can, consent to government with a proper attitude, a proper mindset, and apply the law, know when they're breaking the law, know when they're not obeying the Constitution. Because right now, they are not obeying the Constitution at all. Nothing. Zero. Congress, they're not obeying anything. They're just doing whatever they please. The courts, they don't care. They're doing whatever they please. They all belong in jail. That's where they belong. But, time will come, and that'll be up to a jury to decide that. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, like you said, they've been getting away with it too long. It's the status quo, and they just haven't been, whoever's watching over them isn't watching over them, and those are the ones that are keeping status quo, and they know that. And so they're, the judges tell me, well, I've got a lot of latitude, and this is, the decision that I'm making, and that's what it is, irrespective of the oath that was taken, and you bring that up, and it just irritates them, and they don't know.
Oh, yeah.
They don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives them an attitude. Look, we've got to take this back, and time is coming close. We need to get the word out more, and we need to prepare and educate ourselves more. And if we don't do that, then we're going to lose this nation, and we don't deserve it if we don't do that. Again, I've said this before. I've said it numerous times. Trump could do everything he wants to save this nation, and he might be able to save it for a short period of time. But the next tyrant will come in behind him eventually, and we will end up right. And someone has got to take control of the power. You see, once the deep state collapses, okay, we take over the committeeman process, who's going to maintain the committeeman process? That whole thing collapses with them. I mean, yeah, it'll be chaos is what it'll be, okay? But it's a power void that'll take place, not only in the courts, but also in the political process through the committeemen. And the people need to be there to take that place. They need to fill those positions. And if they don't fill those positions, I was looking today about how many positions there are. There's like 270,000 positions in each party, because that's how many election districts there are. And I'd like to see both of these, both the Democratic and the Republican Party, to fuse back together again. And become one party where we, the people, just choose people that are constitutional the way they did it in the beginning. And, they didn't have parties in the beginning. Parties came quite a few years after. I think the first party really became out in like the 1830s. I was just reading this recently, about 1838, I think it was. Prior to that, you know, Jefferson had a position that he called to, you know, actually Jefferson didn't make this decision, but it was some of the groups that agreed with Jefferson and his position concerning the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, and they called themselves the Republicans, okay? Not a Republican Party, but a Republican. The Republican Party actually didn't start till I think it was Lincoln when he became president. He was the first Republican president. Prior to that, there was no Republican Party. They did have some other names of groups that they called themselves, you know, we believe in this and we believe in that. But the truth of the matter with the Constitution, if we apply the Constitution, we don't have to worry about these things and these questions, because the Constitution deals with them. We're people of law. We apply the Constitution, and then there is no political, there is no politics, if you want to call it that. You know, positions. I was going through the positions of the parties over this week, and you know, what the positions have been over the past, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years, and actually since the beginning of the parties. And it becomes so obvious that it's a setup, you know. The right against the left is a setup, set there to have you know, the hard right to fight against the hard left and tell you got to get somewhere in the middle. There is no somewhere in the middle between the right and the left, because they're just different sides of the same coin to begin with. You know, one is a fascist push, and the other one is more of a socialist or a communist push. But they're all the same thing. They all end up in the same place. They all end up killing their people, suppressing their people, taking away liberties, rejecting any kind of liberty that they may want to exercise, and throw people in dungeons when they give them a hard time. And that's that. We had won that back with this nation. We have an opportunity to win it back. This is, if we lose it, if we do not win it back, it'll probably never be seen in this world again. Because just think about it, there's only two times that there has been a republic like the United States of America. The first time was 1400 BC, Israel. The second time was the United States of America. So it'll probably be lost forever if we don't save it for ourselves and our posterity. All right, anyway, what else you got before we move to the next?
I never spoke, so thanks for that.
I'm sorry.
And, okay. I said truer words were never spoke. Yeah, thanks for that, and I'll let you get back at it. I've taken enough of your time.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's take our next one. Well, let me find out who's on. I see Terry's on as far as administrators. I see Ron's in here, Terry, myself. There's someone else. Is that you, Gerard, coming in as a host?
No, Brent's here.
Oh, that's Brent. Okay.
Now I know you can hear me. I didn't know whether my mic worked.
Oh, okay, great. All right, well, I'm going to pass things over to you in a minute. Get a hold of Terry or Jan or someone during the week. Well, I don't know, Jan, when is Jan coming back, Terry, do you know?
The end of the week.
The end of the week. By Friday, you think, before the weekend or during the weekend?
It's kind of questionable whether it be Friday. I'm not sure. I know I'm covering the Thursday meeting, too, by myself.
Okay. All right. Try to get a hold of Jan during the week, and he'll help you set up a name so we can see you on this better. Maybe, Terry, do you know how? I think all he's got to do is go into his...
I've been maintaining it. I think Brent's labeled... You got your regular number, Brent?
No, he's coming in, it looks like, on an app. You're coming in on an app, right, Brent?
Okay, I can work with him and fix it this week.
Yeah.
I'll give him a call tomorrow.
This way we
right?
can identify him. Because all he's going to do is change his name and put his own email in there and whatever email he wants to put in, and then we'll see him as he should be. So, okay. We're going to move things over to Brent. Brent is the author of Brent Winters, the author of The Excellence of the Common Law. His website is commonlawyer.com. And Brent, you got the mic. Unless we lost you, we don't hear you. You're not muted on this end, so you might be muted somewhere else or something. I don't know. Brent?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, go ahead. You got the mic.
Oh, thank you. Learn how to use this new.
Yeah, it's a little strange to us, too. We're still getting used to this board.
I like it, though. This is Brent. Brent Allen Winters, commonlawyer.com, www.commonlawyer.com. And my comments are my own. They may or may not comport with the views of the leadership of National Liberty Alliance, but they're nice to let me say a few words. We've been talking about the Constitution of the United States. We've gone through the Declaration of 76 clause by clause and blow by blow. Now we're going through the Constitution of the United States clause by clause, blow by blow. We come in our progression. We've been going a couple of weeks. Probably two. But we come in our progression through this document to a big one. Well, they're all big ones. Some are more visible than others. There's more visible clauses. This clause is a big one. Let me read it to you. It says this: no person, except a natural-born citizen or a citizen of the United States at the time of the adoption of this Constitution, shall be eligible to the office of president. Neither shall any person be eligible to that office who shall not have attained to the age of 35 years and been 14 years a resident within the United States. Now, the first thing that sometimes strikes inquisitive minds is, how can a fella be a natural-born citizen and not be much more than 14, 15 years a resident within the United States? Well, that's possible. This is a serious clause, and it's been applicable in recent years in big ways, even since the beginning of our country. Mitt Romney's father wanted to run for president. Mitt Romney, the fellow that ran for president here recently. Well, Mitt's father wanted to run for president. He got into the race, but he was forced to drop out by public opinion because he was not a natural-born citizen. He was born in Mexico. And that, of course, puts a question upon whether Mitt was a natural-born citizen. And I'll explain why in just a minute. What I'm going to do concerning this clause, in the booklet by yours truly, the United States Constitution and Declaration of 76, A Common Lawyer Comments, I have a long, long note to this clause. I may go through that one.
But hey, I want to go through. Brent?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you up your volume at all?
I'll try.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, it makes a difference. Well, thank you. I want to go through this article that another lawyer and I, by the name of Nathan McPherson, that's not McPherson, he says. He said it's McPherson. There is no fear in McPherson, says Nathan. But when we were up in Alaska holding meetings around the state 3-4 years ago, we got together and got to chewing over this business of a natural-born citizen, because at that time there were three Republicans running for president of the United States, and none of the three were natural-born citizens. Well, let me start through this. This has proven to be as mysterious to Americans as the doctrine of the Trinity or something like that. It needn't be mysterious. There needn't be no weeping, gnashing of teeth over it. It's a simple concept. But the evil empire wants to obscure it so they can put people in the White House. Notice I didn't say people into the presidency. Because if you're not qualified, if you're not a natural-born citizen, I don't care how you get in the White House, you're not president of the United States. That's why we had men in the military services filing lawsuits in federal court when they were given orders to go overseas, military officers asking that this fellow that was sitting in the White House, Obama Sim Laban, or Obama, whatever his name was, asking whether he was truly a natural-born citizen and did he truly have authority to be commander-in-chief and issue orders. Well, bottom line, I'm going through this article that we wrote that was published in Alaska back, I'm looking for the date, I don't see it here, a few years ago. Our Constitution of the United States requires that the President of the United States be a natural-born citizen. That means a citizen not by oath or by exception, but by nature. Not by oath or not by exception, but by nature. Now, before I go any farther with this, I want to make a comment about where this arises from. Justice Joseph Story of the United States Constitution said, along with a whole lot of other judges in our common law tradition, both in England, Britain, and the United States, that the Bible lies at the foundation, has always laid at the foundation of our common law. What is our common law? It has many names. Our Constitution calls it the law of the land. Law of the land. That phrase lifted from Magna Carta, Lex Terra, and it refers to due process. That's what our common law is. It is the way things are done. You see, to say that a president has to be a natural-born citizen is all about process. It's about the way things are to be done. And it arises out of Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy, chapter 17, I believe, where it says there, I'm paraphrasing, it doesn't say it exactly this way, but it says, any of the leaders, the leading men among you, shall be of you. Why? Well, if they're of you, from you, then they can be for you. And that's why we later said, and Lincoln wasn't the first one to say this in the Gettysburg Address, the government of the people, because it's by the people, and therefore it will be for the people. That is true, regardless of what else Abe Lincoln was or said, that point is true. And God said the same thing. He said, if you want leaders that are for you, they got to be of you. What does that mean? That means they got to be one of you. They got to be your brethren. They got to have something in common with you. Something? No, a lot. What do they have to have in common? The land. The land. This is the law of the land. We are a country of the law of the land. That means land law. Our loyalty is not to our governments, not to men in government, not to each other first. No, our loyalty, and this, again, comes from the covenant of God. It's to the land. And we understood that until very recently. Even our songs, our patriotic songs, made this clear. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesty above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. You see, the brotherhood comes from the commonness of a common loyalty. Crown thy good with brotherhood. That's the gravy on top. But that's not the foundation. The foundation is every person being in tune to the same land that the Lord their God has given them. The Lord our God has given us a land. No, it's not the state of Israel or we're on the other side of the world. No. It's this land. You live here, this is the loyalty you're to have here, because the Bible says that God has given you this land. Well, back to this little article. Bottom line, to be a natural-born citizen means that one in question, the one in question, must fill both of two requirements. Number one, both of his parents must have been citizens of the United States at the time of his birth. Now, that's never hardly, wasn't mentioned during the days of the man who was sitting in the White House who was not a natural-born citizen, just before D.J. Trump. I don't even want to say his name. I have to spit after I do it. That was bad, very bad. And that and the destruction that he planned to wreak upon the United States, he did. And it's still going on. So both of his parents, anyone who qualifies to run for president, both of his parents must be citizens of the United States at the time of his birth. For instance, D.J. Trump's mother was born on an island off of the coast of Scotland. Born on an island off of the coast of Scotland. She is a foreign-born woman. But she became an American citizen. And from all I can read, at the time that she went into birth pangs with D.J. Trump and delivered him from her womb, at that time, by that time, she was a naturalized citizen of the United States. Therefore, D.J. Trump's father was a citizen of the United States. His mother was an immigrant, but became a citizen of the United States. Therefore, he was born here, D.J. was born here. Therefore, he is a natural-born citizen. Now, let's think about another candidate in recent years for United States president, Cruz, a fellow by the name of Senator Cruz from Texas. He is not a natural-born citizen. How do I know? Well, two reasons. Number one, he was born in Canada. Number two, his father was not a natural-born citizen at the time of his birth. Remember, the standard is this. Both parents must be citizens of the United States. I misspoke. I said his father was not a natural-born citizen. Natural-born citizen is different from just being a citizen. You can become a citizen like D.J. Trump's mother. She became a citizen of the United States. Or you can be natural-born. That's a step up. That means that not only are you born within the territorial limits of one of the 50 states of the Union or the territories of the United States, in other words, on United States property, you're born there, and you have to fill both prongs to be natural born. Both of your parents were citizens of the United States at the time of your birth. Most people that lived here until very recently are natural born citizens. I find it odd. What was that other fellow's name? Jindal Cruz. What was the other one? People fade away in politics. I don't even remember who they are, but there were three of them. Three of them that ran that were not natural-born citizens. Cruz, Jindal, and one other. Well, it's important that we pay close attention to this because the evil empire wants to do away with it. Why do they want to do away with it? Why do they want to do away with this requirement? So they can do away with countries, do away with this country, make everything uniform. You know, there are no men, there are no women, there are no differences in religion. It's all one big religion. We all worship the same God. We're all of the same sex if we want to be. And there's no difference. Everything is uniform. And there is no difference in countries. Well, there are differences, big differences in countries. We are a common law country. There are only a handful of them in the world, and therefore we don't live under the same danger of other countries. But they want to do away with natural-born citizens for president. One other thing about this that's important, as far as I know, there is no other office of government within the United States. I'm talking about in federal government, the general government of Washington, D.C., or the state governments, where this requirement governs. Only one office in our whole country has this high requirement. President of the United States, you must be a natural-born citizen. Do you have to be a natural-born citizen to be a Supreme Court justice? No. Been bunches of Supreme Court justices that were born in other countries, and their parent, neither one of their parents ever became American citizen. They didn't fill either prong of what it means to be a natural-born citizen. What about U.S. senators? Well, there have been a lot of them that aren't natural-born citizens. What about governors of states? Oh, lots of them. Just recently, the gubernator, Arnie, out in California, born in Austria. He was born outside the United States, and neither of his parents were natural-born citizens. In fact, his father was an SS trooper. He was an elitist Nazi in the German regime, the Third Reich. Well, but that's all right in the sense that Arnie qualified to run for governor. But Arnie does not qualify to run for president of the United States. The fellow that wrote this article with me, his children could never run for president of the United States. Why? Well, because their mother was not a natural-born citizen at their birth. Were they born in the United States? You bet they were. But that's not enough. Now, just one more point. Citizenship in our country does not depend upon blood. Not necessarily. No, the big factor. Things like that have a play in it. But the big factor that's always present is whether or not you were born on this land. You see, it comes back to land. Why? Because we are a country of the law of the land. And everything arises in a common law country. A common law country is a law of the land country. Everything arises out of the land. That's an ancient idea that's present all over the world, has been, but has never been taken to its rightful conclusion except in common law countries. It's very important to us. Land is very important because all property and all rights and property arise out of land. Everything you have comes from the land. That's why these two requirements of a natural-born citizen, anyone who is not a natural-born citizen, but nonetheless takes the oath of office of president, in so doing violates not only our Constitution, but also his oath of office. I mean, how can a man who's not a natural-born citizen raise his hand to be sworn in as President of the United States and swear to support and defend, this is a common law oath that's ancient, by the way, support and defend the Constitution. What's the Constitution? It's the law of the land. It says so, Article 6. Support and defend the law of the land against enemies, foreign. That means be willing to take up arms as a member of the militia. And domestic, that means willingness to serve on the jury. Those are the two duties, by the way, of the furred fare, the militia, at common law, and that's the militia of our several states, four militia clauses of our Constitution. But to take an oath knowing you're not a natural-born citizen is mockery, and it is clearly, clearly perjury. What is perjury? It's taking an oath you don't intend to keep. It's not lying under oath properly, no. It's taking an oath that while you're taking the oath, you have no intention of keeping it. That's called forswearing. The Bible calls it forswearing. It could be translated perjury. How could you trust a fellow to preserve, protect, and defend? Quote, I'm quoting from the Constitution. It says that. Lack of good faith in what some consider such a small matter brings in its train injustice in great matters. He that is faithful in least, says Jesus Christ, is also faithful in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Let's think about another example. Winston Churchill. See, they're not as strong on this requirement over in England as we are. As historians and comparative lawyers have said through the years, the Americans are more English than the English. Why do they say that? Because we adhere to the common law more closely. As Justice James Wilson of our Supreme Court said, our country did not try to mimic exactly the way England was right now. We already had that in place here. We were common law colonies. But we tried to even shove it on further back before the Norman invasion. Under Anglo-Saxon rule in England, where property rights were even more revered. Well, that being true, we follow this thing about natural-born citizen. Winston Churchill was the de facto executive power in Britain during World War II. Of course, we all know by this time the crown is a figurehead. it's a symbol, and Queen Elizabeth has very little real authority. She hands it over to Parliament in an act of symbolic transfer every time Parliament opens, so that Parliament is really sovereign in England as long as they're acting. Their legislation is tantamount to sovereignty. That's not the way it is here. We have co-equal powers. We're more English than the English, as they say. But Winston Churchill was de facto executive power. That's what the Prime Minister is in Britain. But Winston Churchill's mother was an American. His father was British. His mother was an American. His father was British. That's why it's important that first prong, to be a natural-born citizen to be president, both of your parents must be citizens of the United States at the time of your birth. That's one of the two prongs, remember. Well, this proves the point why this is important. Winston Churchill loved Americans and America. Winston Churchill knew that the English Revolution of the mid-1600s, the American Revolution, the War for Separation from Britain, I like to call it, there was no difference between those two wars. Matter of fact, he made the point, and I believe he's right, the Second War, the American War for Separation from Britain, was a continuation of the English Civil War of the 1600s. We have been, in many ways, one people, one law. We have one law. Well, we have the same law. We have the same fundamental law as England. They're a Christian nation by decree, by official proclamation. We aren't, but we are certainly Christian, even more than them, even though it's not by official decree. We always have been. But to deny that's just silliness. Of course we have been. How long that'll last, I don't know. The evil empire gets its way. But the laws of nature, that's our common law, our law of the land. That phrase means that, says William Blackstone. And the laws of nature's God, that phrase from our Declaration of 76, that means the Bible, says William Blackstone. That was a popular phrase for the law written. Our common law was called the lex non scripta, the law unwritten. Well, these are the facts of history. And a natural-born citizen like Winston Churchill, he had an affinity for the United States for a simple reason, because his mother was an American. Listen, if your mother or your father is from another country, you will have a natural affinity for that country. And if you don't, there's something seriously wrong with you, because that's the way God made you. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Very good thing. But we also recognize that when it comes to be president of the United States and having command of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the United States Marines, having command of well over 3 million federal bureaucrats, including all the law enforcement bureaucrats, having that command can be dangerous. And we don't want anybody in that office that could have an excuse to have an affinity of loyalty to a foreign power, whether it be the Vatican, whether it be Scotland, Germany, whether it be China, North Korea, South Korea, Cambodia, Japan, wherever it is. We'll allow a little of that in our other offices, but in the office of President of the United States, those that framed our Constitution said absolutely not. And how much more so today? Back then, America wasn't a full-fledged power, but merely a fledging power that many countries in the world didn't even recognize. But look at us now. We're the most powerful nation on the faces of the earth. And to have all that power is dangerous. There are people in federal office now, federal judgeships, the czars that the president appoints. They have citizenship in other nations. That's not a smart idea. Why? Well, God said so. Then when you look at it, you see why he said so. Deuteronomy chapter 17 lays out the principle there. And it's a principle that's applicable no matter what country you live in. And that's the way God wants it. He divided land up into separate places and separate countries, and he did so that each would have a separate responsibility to preserve the land upon which they lived and take care of it. Well, this office of president is unique. That means it's incomparable. There's nothing to compare it to, in that its requirements are beyond those of any other office of government our Constitution allows or otherwise sets forth. To be sure, a man's citizenship of one of the several states of the Union may qualify him for every other office our Constitution mentions or to which it otherwise alludes, whether U.S. Congressman, U.S. Senator, state legislator, state governor, judicial officer, judge of a federal or state court, but being a citizen of one of the several states of our Union or of a territory of the United States standing alone fails to fulfill the twofold natural-born citizenship requirement of our Constitution for a person to serve as president of the United States. Remember, both of your parents must be citizens of the United States at the time of your birth. Second, you must have been born in the territorial boundaries of one of the states of the United States or a territory of the United States. And this first principle, well, this twofold requirement for the office of president, also called citizenship by nature, that's the other name for it, is apparent in the nature of the matter. Now, I don't think that the terms we use to describe natural-born citizen, that term, is the best term to use, but that's the one that's come to us by accident of history. We deal with it. There are better ways to describe it. There'd be better names. The first principle of sound government requiring that our presidents be natural-born, that is, citizens by nature in every respect, not only arises in the crucible of experience through the gathered sense of centuries called the laws of nature, but is also rooted deep in the laws of nature's God. Remember, the laws of nature's God, says Bill Blackstone, Commentaries on the Laws of England, that means the Bible. Common law history provides the recorded observations of this principle arising naturally from the nature of the matter. The Bible provides the written record of this principle among God's people. Well, John or Jan or whoever's there, that's enough for today. And I, again,
okay. All right, thank you, Brent. Appreciate it. Okay, we'll go back to questions. I'm getting some feedback from somebody. Let me just, hopefully this... All right. Anyway, let's go back to our questions then. We'll take our next caller. Someone calling in on a 414 number. You got the mic. Give us your first name and your state.
My first name is Shanquel. My state is Wisconsin. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go ahead, Shanquel.
Awesome. I called a couple weeks ago, and I was pretty much just telling you guys how I had that, I had an outstanding judgment that I needed to get the money from or whatnot. But since then, something crazy has happened, and I called some of the people that was on the website for Milwaukee County in Wisconsin. But last week, Sunday, my daughter was unlawfully arrested in Milwaukee at a Walmart. The police didn't have any probable cause. The police didn't have a warrant. They just pretty much, they kept telling her that they wanted her to put her finger in this device and take her fingerprint. And my daughter declined. And my daughter actually called 911 and called the police on the police and said that she felt intimidated and she feared for her life. And so after she did that, I walked in the door and I asked the officer, I said, is my daughter under arrest? Turn it down. And the officer told me, no, she was not under arrest. I said, okay, well then, why are we still standing here? Why do you guys have her and her friends surrounded? And the police officer said, well, we want to identify them. I said, and how are you trying to identify them? They said, we want them to put their fingers in this device so we can take their fingerprints. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make sense. I said, if they're not under arrest and they haven't violated any law, broke any law or they haven't destroyed any property in Walmart, I said, then there's no need for that. And I said, what I can do is I'll give you her first and last name. So I gave them her first and last name, although I know I didn't even have to do that. But I was just like, okay, let us get out of here. And so at any rate, as my daughters started to proceed towards me and we were going to walk out, the police grabbed her from behind her back, twisted her arm behind her back, and these three big cops grabbed her and threw her up against the wall. She's 18 years old, but she's only like 110 pounds. All of these police officers are like 250, 300 pounds, slam her against the wall. Then they all wrestle her down to the floor, three of them, and they're putting their elbows in her face and her mouth, putting their knees in her back, and then they tase her. Like right in front of me, I'm standing there with my mouth wide open, and I'm trying to calm my niece and my two-year-old down while they're watching this. So everybody is kind of hysterical. My daughter is trying to get them off of her, so she's pushing them off, but she can't, of course, subdue, you know, three big, heavy men. And so they tase her. My daughter screams and pulls the taser out. So they finally let her up. They're stepping on her ankle. Her ankle has a big, huge wound in it. Pick her up. She's barefoot at this point. They walk her out to the police car, throw her on the hood of the police car and start filling on her butt, her thighs, and she starts pushing them off like, hey, can you get a female police officer? They say, no, we don't have any female police officers, and they continue to rub on her, stick their hands all in her pockets and rub her thighs and whatnot. And so they finally threw her in the back of the car, of the truck. And then the police officer said, hey, she bit me when they had her down on the ground and was tasing her and stuff. So that was kind of like their cover up. They're saying that my daughter bit them. And so they said, we're going to rush this police officer to the hospital. But my daughter, who was heavily injured by them and assaulted and attacked by them, they made her sit in the back of the car, and they took her to the police department, and I told them my daughter needs medical attention. They said, no, ma'am, your daughter is declining medical attention. So they took her to the police department where there were no females present. They made her sit there for 3 hours while they got a warrant to take her blood at the hospital. So they end up taking her to the hospital, even though they told me they were not going to. And they only got her cleared so they can hurry up and bring her back to book her. And so I'm dealing with this right now. I had called some of the people off the website to try to just get some witnesses to come with me to court, because they put my daughter in jail. They put her on 72-hour solitary confinement, and they wouldn't even let us post a bail because they said since she committed a battery towards an officer, she had to stay in solitary confinement for 72 hours before she could see a commissioner or a judge. And so I had to call the sheriff and make the sheriff make my daughter call me, because she was incarcerated for 2 full days and did not call home, and I knew she was still hurt. And so we just got out of jail Wednesday night, and we've been taking her back and forth to the ER. I got an incident number at Walmart because I told them Walmart is also going to be held accountable because my daughter was assaulted and attacked on their premises, and the police officers, they just pretty much wanted to show their authority at that point, and they had no reason to attack and assault my daughter, in which they told both of the girls, my daughter and her best friend, that they were going to arrest both of them, but they ended up just arresting my daughter, but they assaulted and attacked her. And so I'm in the midst of, like, putting together so many affidavits, but I wanted to get this case joined as a joinder case. I tried to do it on the website. The website is not allowing me to join the case. But and I just wanted to hear, what do you guys suggest? Because I'm putting together my daughter's statement. I've already put together my own statement. The police officers even refused medical attention for my daughter when she was at the hospital. They told the doctors what my daughter could and could not get, as if they were her guardian or someone that is over her power of attorney for her to get medical care. And the doctor said she needed to have an EKG, and the police officer said, no, she does not. That's only for people who has a car accident. So pretty much it was an unlawful arrest. They didn't have any probable cause. They didn't have a warrant. And now my daughter has a battery charge, and it's a felony, and she could face up to 6 years in prison and also a $10,000 fine. So I'm in the midst of putting some stuff on the record to prove that it was an unlawful arrest. They've had both of our face all over my daughter's face, all over the news. The news ran the story. A woman was fighting in Walmart, and she bites the police officer. So it's like just really crazy right now. And just trying to see what you guys suggest and if anyone has any suggestions for me.
Is she in jail now, or did they release her, or does she have a court hearing? What's the status?
She had intake court on Wednesday. Wednesday in the afternoon.
When did the event happen? When did the situation happen?
The event happened Sunday, October 13th.
Okay, so it happened on Sunday, and and they put her in jail, and then she had a hearing on Wednesday.
Yep, that Wednesday, right after that.
Okay, then did they release her on her own recognizance, or did they, what's the status?
Yes, they released her on a PR bond, and she was able to get out that night at like 11 o'clock at night on Wednesday. But they wouldn't even let us bail her out prior to that.
Okay, how many how many people were there that were adults? How old is your daughter to begin with?
My daughter is 18 years old. Her best friend is 18.
Okay,
I was there.
So there's three adults so far. Is there anyone else that was there that you can get that's an adult?
The Walmart employee, it was like two Walmart employees. One was the asset protections person, and then the other one was like a support manager because she was standing there talking to me.
And they saw what happened.
Yeah, they saw what happened, and they're all on the body cameras as well. They're on the body cam and Walmart's camera. Now, this is what's crazy.
Okay, listen, that's interesting that they have a camera there. Listen, that's very interesting. So this thing was filmed, actually. Was the whole thing filmed?
Yeah, the whole thing was filmed. Everything was filmed.
Were you able to get a copy of the tape?
That's what I was about to tell you. The news stations and the public has the tape, but when I ordered the tape on Monday, the day after it happened, they called me up last week Friday and let me come get all the police records and the oaths of office, because I requested the oaths of offices of all the officers who was involved. I also requested all of the whole case file. They gave me all of the paperwork and told me I needed to come in and pay for the DVDs for the video, and they'll call me when they're ready. So I had to pay for that last week Friday, even though I ordered it last week Monday. But everybody else, the public, the news outlets, they all have the recording. I just don't have it. They're trying to keep me from getting the videotapes.
Okay, well, continue to try to get that. That's very important. I don't know why the news wouldn't release it to you. So you got two people who actually worked for the store, and they are they willing to write an affidavit of what happened?
I'm sure they are. And then Nyla, be quiet. And so I'm sure they are. I went and talked to the main manager who was over everybody at Walmart during the time of the incident, and he told me he just had to go to he went on vacation, but he said, Shanquil, he said, we did call the police to keep the peace. He said, we had no idea that it was going to escalate to what it did. He was like, but anything that you need from me, I'm willing to give it to you. He said, you know, if I can help you in any way, I can help. He was like, I'm just leaving for vacation for a week. And he said, but I'll be back after a week. And he's, you know, they're all pretty.
Okay, let me tell you what you should do. Let me tell you what you should do. First of all, you should get all these affidavits together. Everyone should write an affidavit. Mm-hmm. Your daughter should write one. you should write one, your daughter's friend should write one, these two individuals that worked for the store should write one, and it sounds like you have another person that's in the store that could write one, and if anybody else. Now the video, do you have any idea if the video was shot in from such a position that it got the whole thing?
Yeah, well, their body cam, because each one of the police officers had body cameras on. So all mm-hmm. of their body cameras, I ordered all of their body cameras, and then I ordered Walmart's video as well. But Walmart won't release their video to me. They'll only release it to the police, or they'll release it through a subpoena.
Really?
That's like their policy. Yeah, they're saying that's their store policy, and I think that's a bunch of bull crap.
Well, I think, first of all, very first thing, order of business, that you should definitely get the affidavits. When you get the affidavits, you want to make copies of all those affidavits. You should probably keep the original, but file the copies in the court to begin with, okay? And
right.
then you want to file a counter to them, you know, in other words, for abuse, police brutality to begin with, okay? I would also sue the store for refusing to give you the evidence, okay? And of course, next time in court, or the first time in court, you should ask for that. Meanwhile, she could get out of this thing, because it sounds like there's a lot of evidence against the cops, and in order to prevent you from going too far, they may try to work a deal and let it go. But however you're going to handle this, you handle it. But definitely, you should probably do a joinder with us. Our joinder deals with the fact that the court doesn't have jurisdiction. Okay, that's the focus. That they're incapable of giving you due process, so that's where we would go, trying to shut the court down. As far as dealing with the cops and going after them. You'd have to do a lawsuit to sue them. As a matter of fact, no. If it's really strong, especially when you get the tapes, if the tapes really came out good and it's clearly obvious what took on what took place, I would take those affidavits. I would take the tapes. I'd go down to the sheriff's office and file a criminal case, and you want these cops arrested. You demand that they be arrested. Now, he may or may not do that. What state did you say you were in, and what county?
We're in Wisconsin, and we're in Milwaukee County.
Okay.
My daughter and I, we went to go file a restraining order on the police officers on Friday. We ran out of time. So we're going to file those tomorrow. We're filing the restraining orders. I already put my affidavit and my statement on the record, but I haven't filed it in the case yet. My daughter's, hers will get notarized tomorrow, and I also got power of attorney over my daughter, so that way I can speak and put everything on the record, and whatever needs to be done, I can do it. I also
they're not going to allow you to do that anyway. They're going to tell you to shut up. If you think you're going to be able to talk in the court, they're going to shut you down. But what you need to do, though, is where did you go, or where were you planning to go to file the criminal complaint? Are you going to file a criminal complaint?
No, we had just went to file the restraining.
Okay, where did you go to do that?
Where to go for the criminal complaint, but I wanted to do that, didn't know where to go for that.
All right, you need to go see the sheriff about all this stuff, okay? Try to get the sheriff's department to handle this.
Not the district attorney.
No. He's one of the good old guys, and the sheriff may be too. You know, we don't know yet, but definitely the district attorney is as crooked as the rest of them, and that's unfortunate, but the thing is they protect each other's backs, you know, and that's it. So anyway, I would do that, file a criminal complaint, see where that goes. Meanwhile, file all your affidavits in court, and in the court you should, well, you see, the problem is you can't figure out how all this works anymore, because, you know, they have taken away court of record, and they've even taken away equity court. It doesn't exist no more. And they only have what's called the civil law. Let me read something. It says here, the Federal Judicial Center, which is a government agency, okay, stated that, and this here is on their website, okay, Federal Judicial Center, stated that on September 16th, 1938, under the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, the Supreme Court enacted uniform rules of procedure for the federal courts under the new rules. Suits in equity and suits at common law were grouped together under a whole new term called civil law. Okay? And they obscurely state in Rule 2, they state it this way. There is one form of action, the civil action, written and interpreted, of course, by the American Bar Association and taught as fact in bar schools and so on and so forth. So looking at this, because there's only one form of action, they claim it the civil action, then, and you know, in a common law, criminal court and civil actions all take place in the same place. I mean, you know, there is no two courts, a criminal court and a civil court. They do have civil courts and criminal courts. I see that all over. I don't know how it is out there in your state, but here in New York, they have two different courts. You go either to the civil side or going to the criminal side. And that's a major problem to begin with. But because they use the word civil action, then it's just one court to begin with. But you're in a jurisdiction unknown, because how can you combine common law with equity? Equity has nothing to do with the people. Common law has everything to do with the people, but under law without statutes. And yet they pull it together as one. So you could try to do a countersuit in the criminal court, the case. In other words, when you file all these papers, you file it as, let me think about this. Do you have any experience in this, in filing papers or anything?
I have a little experience. I do have a little experience because I got a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and I did work at the public defender's office, and I have filed my own paperwork in a case prior to this as well.
Okay, so right in that court, file a countersuit, okay? And call yourself, bring yourself to become the plaintiff in fact. Okay, call yourself the plaintiff in fact, and then call them the defendants in fact. There may be other ways to state that, but I think that's pretty clear that you become the defendant, you become the plaintiff in fact, you want to go see the sheriff and see what you can get from there, get whatever paperwork you got from there, and even file all that paperwork in the court. And I would do it all in one shot. I don't do it by piecemeal. Try to get all these affidavits together. And try to get the go down to see the sheriff when you have all the affidavits, hopefully the video too. If you take the video, you should be able to do some still shots maybe on it that might be able to tell the story better. But definitely you want to get a copy of the video to attach it. If you can pull a few still shots out, you do that. And put it all together into the court and go after them. Meanwhile, fill out the form on our website. All you got to do is go up to nationalalliance.org, okay? Click on abuse of court, okay? Read through those pages very carefully, okay? Anybody who we do a joinder with must then put themselves into our course, a government by consent course. They must take that, and in that process, we ask for people to be supporting what we're doing by being a premier member, giving $5 a month or more. And so that's like $60 a year. So we need the support. Of course, if someone is really that poor and they can't afford that, we'll still work with you. But, we do have quite a few people who have reported that way, and, we're not going to argue with them. But most people can afford $5 a month for a year or two. Again, $60 a year when you add it all up. If you give up a cup of coffee and a roll, a buttered roll or a donut or something, it's probably $5 to give it up once a month. But in any event, we want people, anybody we're going to do court cases with, because in the past we've had people come in and they want to help and then they disappear and they go halfway or whatever, and they don't get educated, and they don't work to help the others. We have to help each other, and we have to work together to change this whole process, because that's the only way we're going to save this nation, is to save this whole process. Because what I just read to you states that the United States Supreme Court created a rule, Rule Number 2, and in that rule shut down the Constitution of the United for the United States of America. Constitution is null and void. As far as the federal courts are concerned, it doesn't exist anymore. And that's Rule 2 makes that absolutely clear. All of the state courts and all the other courts, the town courts, the city courts, the village, they all followed suit with the same thing. And they also all incorporated under, you know, becoming a municipality. And they went under the city of the, you know, the law of the city, municipality law, which is civil law, because that's what that is. The United States did that with the Organic Act is when the United States became a, a civil, the whole civil process started. They became, a municipality, okay? And that was in 1871. So, they've been playing here for a long time with our law, changing things little by little. All this is covertly. And they don't answer the questions in court. It's not clear. But this is what's happening. This is why when you go to a court, they deny you your rights. You don't have due process rights. You don't. You can challenge the jurisdiction, and you don't belong in a jurisdiction. They're going to ignore you. I remember one time I had an argument with the judge because I was, I said, well, you don't agree with the United States Supreme Court. You're overruling them. He said, no, that's not what's happening here, but this is the way this court goes. I mean, he didn't even make any sense. But this is where they're at. They're just out of control. And the people need to do something. Yeah. We need to do something about this because it is gone, and it's not much longer before we're going to lose it all. Even though Donald Trump, is president and doing a good job and trying to take down the deep state, which I'm sure he's going to succeed at it, no doubt in my mind. But if we the people don't fill the power void that's going to come out of this, then someone else will, and it'll be elected individuals who will only become tyrants because anytime you get anybody that's elected and given power, and it's unchecked power, they just become tyrants. They have to be, on a chain. You got to chain them down with the chains of the Constitution.
Right.
So, that's what I suggest you do, and you should probably join your case with us. We'll do we'll challenge the jurisdiction. And if we can shut the one side down, you can continue the other side in a lawsuit. At that point, you might even be able
to... Right, and I was going to tell you that I am a member already, and I had already started taking the courses. I just had to stop now once my daughter got assaulted and attacked by the police. So I've been taking the courses and everything, and I've already become a member a couple of weeks ago. So,
okay,
I've been
so you should be able to go right in.
Taking a course.
Yeah, well, a week or two ago, we had, we're in between things, changing the paperwork, and we didn't really have a form to be filled out for a little while. So if people were trying to join their cases during a time period, they were unable to do it. But we did finally get that taken care of. But again, if you click on abusive courts, read that page carefully, come down to the bottom before the comments, and click here to fill out the form for joinder. You click on that, and then you'll get what's called an intake form. You fill this out, and then submit it. It'll be automatically submitted, and Jim will get it. He'll go through it. He'll prepare a joinder for you. He'll get it back to you. You can either sign it and send it in, and then we'll do what's called an amicus curiae on your behalf, where the grand jury is interceding and... we have a common cause here because the jurisdiction is the common cause. We'll tell them to cease and desist. Of course, they're not going to listen to that, but maybe they will because, you know what? I think you got enough evidence that should shake them up. They're going to try to make a deal with you maybe. But in any event, you pursue that and you go after them. You shut their case down and go after them. Now, again... once we do the paperwork, after we file the papers, we wait about 35 days, and then if they haven't done anything to correct the problem, then we move it into federal court for cause as a joinder dealing with the fact that they don't have jurisdiction. It's a jurisdictional issue, and that they are abusing your unalienable right of due process, That's always the same thing with all of us. It's the same problem over and over and over again. And so once we join all that together, then they'll get 30 days to respond. If they're a federal agent or federal judge, we give them 60. But everyone on the state level, they live with the 30. We wouldn't let them live with the 30. So after 35 days, then we will make a decision in the case and put up an order and a judgment. They'll probably ignore that. But that judgment and that order will sit in that case. Again, we're pinning this to the doors, the court doors, and we're nailing it there, and we're revealing all of their crimes over and over and over again. And when the deep state goes down and they lose their protection and that wall falls, you know, that protective wall, which is the deep state protecting them, they're going to find themselves in a bad situation, and that's when we will start to get justice. That combined with critical mass. So, you know, we have to be patient, we have to fight, we have to keep going and stay on course and go forward. Now, if you don't want to join her and you want to go to...
She has a preliminary hearing on the 30th, October 30th. So I'm going to get all this stuff filed in there.
Yeah, you've got to get all that stuff. They may throw this case out that day. But I would pursue the lawsuit then on them. Yeah, that's what I would do. But remember... You're not going to win in court in these courts. They're too corrupt. And, you know, you could try talking with a lawyer on that, and, you know, they may help you out, you know, and they may be able to do a better job because they're fighting in the same place and they know how things work. But they're not going to allow that. They'll pull a lawyer in the back room and they're going to tell them how business is going to go, and the lawyer will come out, and then you're going to scratch your head wondering why he's not doing what he said he was going to do. And that's what happens all the time. And but that doesn't mean you got to just you know, throw it away and ignore it. No, build your case, set your program, and even do what you can to pursue the case. Even if they dismiss the case, continue to pursue it. And at some point in time, when we get to the other side, then you can move it over into a court of record where it deserves to be.
Right, and that's what I'll do. Is there a number I can call on the website once I do the joint?
Someone will contact me
once I put that in.
Yeah, you can communicate with Jim. You know, Jim's been talking to a lot of people, and he gets bogged down with that. And I, you know, we spoke about that, but he likes to talk to people and communicate with them, give them information. But I tell him, look, you got to, you know, limit your conversations with people, otherwise you're never going to get any work done. So he's been so backlogged. We also have a big rush because we had like about 50 or 60 cases coming in right off the top that he's trying to catch up on. And then we got a bunch of cases. He must have 15, 20 cases that are all new cases that he's trying to get in. So he's working on a lot of cases trying to catch up and get all the paperwork done. And he did get some assistance. I don't know if he's caught up yet, but if he is caught up, you know, again, if you need to talk with him, you'll have an email. It's intake@nationallibertyalliance.org, and give him your phone number, and you can ask him to call, but try to keep your time limited with him, you know. But he's not going to give you too much more information than I gave you. I mean, pretty much, if anything, he should probably give you the same information I gave you. But you want to get all that evidence in the court. And you want to make sure you keep the originals yourself. Make copies and give the copies to the court. And you, in your affidavit, you can swear that these tapes are accurate and where they come from and so on and so forth. And you know, that certifies the tapes. You know, you're giving them; they become evidence at that point. But and then see where it goes. Let's see what happens after the 30th. It's going to be interesting to find out what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely keep you all informed. Thank you so much for your time on the phone this evening.
Okay. All right, we'll talk to you soon, hopefully, and see how things work out, okay?
Sure will. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to our next caller here. Let's see. It is, I don't know how to pronounce that name, from California. Well, how do you pronounce your name? Oh.
Enrique.
Arica? Enrique.
Enrique, yeah.
So, Enrique. Okay, you got the mic.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering if you've heard of any of these moto proprio.
Who?
A moto proprio. It's a Vatican popal announcement when he says motu proprio, what follows is the highest law on earth, according to the Vatican.
Yeah, well, according to them, but yeah, I have no idea of any of those things, so.
Oh, well, in 1302, they declared unum sanctum, meaning that they declared all earth and everything on it, including us.
Yeah, well, remember, they ruled the world for 1,251 years, okay? They ruled the known world back then. And, you know, they do have a hold on a lot of people because a lot of people are Catholics. I myself was born and raised a Catholic, you know, so a lot of people are Catholic. I got a lot of Catholic friends, most of which who have left the church. But they don't really have the control they used to have, but it's civil law. It's called Justinian law. It's civil law, Roman Catholic law, and whatever you want to call it. And it's the same law that's in our courts today. Can't even make heads or tails out of it because they don't even they don't follow their own rules to begin with anyway, okay? And you can't figure out anything that they do. They do whatever they want, and they get away with it. But it's time to, you know, step up and stop them as best we can.
Right. Now, I sent a PDF to you tonight to the administration. It was motu proprio. It's a pretty good one. I suggest you might want to check it out.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
It basically says how they admit to all of their fraud. I mean, everything from the birth certificate to the, including the bar, you know, basically saying that anybody who's still involved in that fraud, they will not be immune from
Well, look, they got this, you know, it's a shame that even the President of the United States, great guy and everything else, but it's a shame that he doesn't even understand. It's a shame that nobody in Congress seems to understand. The courts don't even seem to understand this. Look, when someone has sovereign immunity, okay, you take someone who's an ambassador or something, they come into the country, they got sovereign immunity. What that means is they've got sovereign immunity against any code that might apply to them, okay, because they would fall under certain codes within the United States or even traffic court, you know, those kind of things. So they have sovereign immunity to that. But there isn't a person on the planet that has sovereign immunity in under law. Everybody is under law. Nobody is above the law. Nobody gets sovereign immunity from that law, the true law, which is common law, natural law. Nobody has immunity from that.
It's true.
So, but anyway, that's it.
Okay, I just wanted to read one thing for you. It's it's from the Bible. It's due process. It's Matthew 18:15-18.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, it says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go to him with his fault between you and he alone. If he shall hear you, then you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take thee with you a witness or two, so that the mouth of the two or three witnesses would be the word to be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church, but if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man, a publican. And a publican is basically a tax collector or a pagan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically where due process comes from. You know, we go, they skip all this. We go to our
person. Right, and remember, our court is supposed to be a court under, you know, nature's God. Natural law court. So those are the court. Oh, that is a proper court to go to, you know. And if you're in a country where that court doesn't exist, the best thing you can do is go to the church that you belong to and try to get. But again, you know, if they're going to ignore what your church says, if they're not from that church, you know, they're going to ignore it anyway. So I don't know how that would work out.
Well,
but
yeah, it's just basically, it's if you have an issue with somebody, you're supposed to go to them personally. And if that doesn't work, you take a friend or a witness. If that doesn't work, then you go to the clergy or the clerk. Well, they skip all this, and they go right to sentencing. So they skip arbitration, which is to deny due process.
Well, they skip everything. They even skip having someone going before the grand jury to get an indictment. You know, I'll bet you dollars to donuts. As a matter of fact, the woman that was just on. You know, I'll bet you dollars to donuts they don't even get a grand jury indictment. And that's another point to be made in the court. Of course, they're going to ignore that because the Constitution is null and void in these courts. You know, the more and more I read and study, the more and more it becomes so obvious to me how and how serious it really is. You know, it's just they're ignoring it all. But in any way, in order for them to go forward with any criminal charges, they must have an indictment. No indictment, then they can't go forward. Okay, and the indictment, you know, even with that, still sworn affidavits have to be applied within the court. You know, police officers, for instance, you know, they have to give a sworn affidavit. A sworn affidavit is one that's sworn before an administrator of some kind, a notary public or a judge or a magistrate, someone of authority, the clerk, county clerk. Okay, and they won't do that. They will write a paper, and at the bottom they'll say, I swear, and they'll sign it, but there'll be no true witness. No witness at all on that paper, and that's not an affidavit. Well, and again,
according to Article 1, Section 9, Column 2, Habeas Corpus, they have to have that written affidavit of affirmation before they arrest.
That's right. That's
before.
Right.
And as far as just touching on the last caller, failure to produce identification in and of itself is not an arrestable offense.
Right, and that, you see, therein is the crime that the police officers were applying against her, because this whole thing escalated because she didn't want to give ID. And even though her mother told her, well, I'll give you her name, they weren't satisfied with that, and then they pursued touching her body, because whatever it was, they wanted to subdue her, they wanted to arrest her, but for what cause, you know? I've seen so many cases like this, and a couple of them were won very quickly as soon as it's revealed in the court that they don't have a reason for the arrest. For instance, they'll arrest you for – these cops are so stupid sometimes. They are very low IQ'd. They seek out low IQ'd people, as a matter of fact, and they reject a lot of the people that have a higher IQ. But nevertheless, they're so dumb that they file a report that they're being arrested for resisting arrest – and you say, okay, well, what was I being arrested for? And you get silence. Silence. You know, it's so seriously defunct. It's really bad. So it should motivate the people to do what has to be done. All right, well, look, I appreciate the call. We're going to go to the next caller. Thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. It's a 973 phone number. Give us your first name and your state.
Terry in New Jersey.
Terry from New Jersey. Go ahead, Terry.
That observation by that woman before about her daughter is very much on the point. You know, we've had some cases in New Jersey where people are being arrested, and you can hear on the audio the cop telling the alleged criminal, stop resisting. So, and the problem was that they didn't realize that there was videotape on it, and so they ultimately were indicted by a federal grand jury. So that's the kind of stuff that goes on.
Mm-hmm. We indicted the cops that killed that one guy. I forget exactly where. I think it might have been New York. Huh?
Garner?
Yes, right. He was in New York City, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, we got saw the videos and stuff, and we indicted off the videos. First of all, it was a code violation. My goodness, the best you could do is give them a ticket, see you in court. I mean, come on. They had it. They just wouldn't leave this guy alone. And they took him down, and they killed him. We indicted him for murder, and it hasn't gone nowhere, but it will. Okay, one day in time, it will go. But in any event.
Has Judge Kahn tried to remove your papers yet?
Not yet. We don't think that's going to happen. He'd be pretty silly to do that, because he's going to have to take his own little fingers and go down into the file room and pull it out himself, and judges don't do that. And I mean, that would be really out of line for him to do it. And I don't think the clerks are going to do it, because I think they see enough and they're frightened themselves. They don't know where this is going to go, you know. Yeah, it is, David against Goliath type thing. But remember, David won. We intend on doing so, too.
I remember you said something about they gave you a deadline to withdraw those papers, I think, didn't they?
Yes, that deadline has come and gone.
Oh, okay, great.
The papers are still there. They're still taking papers. We're still filing papers, and we're still moving forward.
I had just one quick question. If you have an old case, can you do a joinder on that?
You can do a joinder on anything, yep.
Okay, that's. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, that's pretty much all I wanted to know. Thanks a lot.
All right, appreciate it. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see, 203, that looks like Connecticut. Give us your first name, and I think you're in Connecticut, aren't you? 203-895. You got the mic. Hello, 203. Last call for 7198. Last call. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Okay, Mason. From, where is that, Wisconsin?
That's right.
Go ahead, Mason.
Thank you very much. My reason for calling this evening is just expressing my heartfelt appreciation for the profound knowledge that I'm gaining from studying your consent governed course. It's just been eye-opening and sort of reawakening my sense of spirituality. And much appreciated. I called this evening. My daughter is a freshman in college now, and she is going to be participating in a debate. And I thought that possibly the debate subject that some of the principles that NLA stands for and teaches, some of that might be able to shed some light on her debate subject, and I was wondering if I might just simply present what they're doing and just glean any comments that come to your mind that she might want to bring forward.
Well, okay, well, what exactly is the topic? And, you know, a lot of our papers, if you go back and read the latest paper first and read backwards, this way you get the most fresh stuff, but you could probably pull all kinds of things out of there. What is the topic of the debate? Going to be on law or something?
Sure. The debate is this. For first-time offenders, whether it be a juvenile or an adult, the question is whether or not they have the right to have a life with parole or without parole.
Whether they have a right to what?
To have a life, they've only committed one offense, and they're going to serve their time. They've finished serving their time in jail. And now, do they have the right to have a life with parole or without parole? That's a debate.
Well, look, if the jury made a decision and the punishment was carried out, which, by the way, it wasn't a real jury. It was a statutory
right.
jury, and she was
right.
All this took place in whatever cases you're talking about, basically, is taking place in courts, jurisdictions unknown, but nevertheless, okay, let's presume that they're real. We only have to look to the old stories, the books, and the TV, especially the old Westerns. You know, it kind of gives us a little flavor of some things, and there's some truth to it, of course. A lot of things we might see is a lot of BS also, but nevertheless, the idea that, you get arrested, and then when you get released from jail, they give you your guns back and your saddle, and your horse may be dead, but, and you're on your way. That kind of an idea is really what is under common law. What are we going to be holding people responsible for whatever the debt may be forever? Okay, first of all, the debt was never even taken care of. You know, justice requires really, justice is all about really dealing with both sides, the offender and the offended, okay, to put both right and to bring them back both onto the right path ultimately, you know, for the person to have restitution of some kind. And through that process of paying restitution, it should be set up so that repentance is available, and realization of whatever the crime was, if you injure somebody, or if you steal from somebody. But to hold them accountable for life is ridiculous. And that has nothing to do with common law. So, you know, common law, that's not part of common law. Sure. Again, the common law is all about restoring everybody, you know.
Where might, in light of common law, where might one read about examples of how pittance is made and the, you know, rights of a victim?
Look, common law is all about self-evident truths. Okay, that's what it's all about. It's maxims, things that can't be debated or argued. Look at let's take the Declaration of Independence. The entire thing is just nothing but self-evident truths. Okay, all men are created equal. Who can argue with that? We're endowed by our Creator certain unalienable rights. Who can doubt that? You know, who would argue against that? Only the tyrant would argue against that. Okay, so self-evident truth is founded as you go forward, and you know there are books of maxims that you can go take a look at. We have some up on our website. Let me see where some of these might be. It would be under education. And let's see. Is it under founding? Maybe under founding documents. No. Federalist, state, essays. All right. I'm not finding it very easy, but go through and explore the website, particularly under education. You'll probably find something there. There's a couple of books out there that were written, Blackstone, way back when. There's books that were written on maxims. And so you can read through them. But again, reading the Constitution is really self-evident truths and maxims. You'll find that. Clearly the Bill of Rights, okay, and the Declaration of Independence. All our founding documents is written with that in mind. So, a truth cannot be denied. You know, there will be people that do deny. We live in a world of denial. I mean, these people have just ripped the logic and everything apart so severely. People don't know whether they're coming or going, and that's why there's so much frustration from those people who are trying to fix things. Now, when what's going on in Washington and everything with Trump there, and he's got a lot of people that are working with him to fix things, but there's a lot of frustration, you know, because logic has been totally lost and destroyed. But again, we need to bring it back. So,
okay, well, thank you very much. It's a big, good opportunity for them to add this dimension to their...
Yeah, take a look on our website. You will find a couple of books out there on maxims, pretty sure we have them up there. I know I have them in my computer. If I don't have them up, I'll look around myself to make sure it's up there. Maybe let's see in the political. No, let's take a look. Books. No.
Well, what's the title of one or two books of maxims that comes to mind?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull something up here. Hang, give me a minute here.
Okay.
And the computer's kind of slow here, but there it goes. Okay. Let me see if I can find something quickly. I'm not even sure where all my books are in here anymore. Political, yeah, I got something, books.
John?
Yeah? Have you got any names of books of maxims?
Blackstone.
And we should have that Blackstone up on our website. I know that.
Yeah, and in the back of it, 6th and 7th edition, is usually a long list. Blackstone's Dictionary... A legal dictionary is what it is.
Is it Blackstone Volume 1 and Volume 2?
No, I'm sorry, not Blackstone. That's his commentary. Just Black's. You mentioned it.
Black's Law, yeah.
Black's Law, 6th and 7th edition. I have a long appendix of common law maxims.
Mm-hmm. You know, I probably have a lot of books on my computer that I don't even have up on the website. I need to get them up there. Yeah, I'm not seeing them very easily or very quickly. You know, why don't you ask me next week, and hopefully between now and then, I'll go through to see what's on the site, make sure they're all underneath the educational tab, and maybe put some up that we may not have up there.
Thank you. I see on the list Black Flaw second edition, but...
Yeah, that is a Black's Law dictionary, and are you saying at the back of Black's Law they have a lot of maxims? Is that what you're saying there, Brent?
Yes, it's an appendix, and you can look them up by alphabetical order. I think most of them are put in Latin, but they give the English translation.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right. And let me take the next caller here. Anybody wants to get into the queue? We only got a couple people in the queue, star 6 and a 1, to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1. Okay, let's take Gail. What state are you from? Is that MN? What state is that?
Oh, hi. This is Gail from Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay.
Hi. I already have a case. I was the first one that filed a case. You may be familiar with me. But since then, I have a second case coming in, and I guess I can explain it a little bit.
We don't want to get too deep into details on cases. It's just something general if you want. But remember, the whole thing that we're battling is the fact that people are not getting due process, and they're being taken into jurisdictions unknown. Nobody knows the jurisdiction, and that's the big battle. Now, there's more that could be fought there, but that has to be fought by the person. But the key is to fight those positions, especially if you're being assaulted by someone, you know, government or big corporation, usually mortgage companies. Then you're going to challenge the jurisdiction, and that's pretty much what we do. And all of our cases have to do with jurisdiction. Our fight in the court, our purpose in the court, is because of they stole our unalienable rights. They stole our right of due process. They stole our courts. They've changed our law into civil law. Everything is phony that this government has set up for us. Everything. Nothing but phony stuff. Phony money, phony courts, phony law. It's all fiction. But go ahead.
Oh, okay. I kind of have an urgent matter. Mine more involves the hospital. I have an ALS mother who I brought in, and they're trying to say they have authority over her when I have power of attorney papers. And she had a incident at the hospital where the ventilator had stopped working, and they ignored it. And so I had called the 911 police, and instead they attacked me and put me in their... jail, and then they put a trespass against me, and I'm unable to see my mother at this time. And right now she needs to get to a different hospital so I can be with her, and she needs to get the proper care. And it's very difficult to deal with at this point because I haven't seen her for 8 days. They're actually, because they have that trespass against me.
Do you have any brothers and sisters, or is your father around, or
no,
other family members?
My son is actually the alternate power of attorney, but
so he's got the power to move her into a different hospital then, right?
Right. We've been trying to do that, but they're saying that they can't. And so I called the insurance company today, and they said that they never had pre-authorization to do any of this stuff because I'm the first power of attorney, and he's just an alternate as far as that goes. So they were trying to get that so we could get her transferred. It's just that her life's pretty much in danger when their faulty equipment, that it's the ventilator stopped, and they were refusing to put it back on when I told them they needed to put it back on, and that's when they called I called the police, and then they actually took me away. So I was kind of
next time any kind of, everybody should realize this, always call the sheriff if there's a, most counties have sheriffs, so there's not that many counties that don't have them, but there are some, but they're not that many. Always call the sheriff. You'll usually get a better shake from those people.
Yeah, I did do that, but he said that he obviously takes his orders from someplace else. So
yeah.
And I kind of understand what he means by that. And so
yeah.
I'm stuck here with her being in a hospital where she does not want to be, and you know, pretty much in, her life is in danger with by them. But Jim did mention maybe something that was possible to maybe do a habeas corpus against the hospital. So
well,
that
I don't know that that could be done. You know, Someone has seized control of taking fiduciary authority over your mother, and no court gave that to anyone. Then a next of kin by law should have the authority and the ability to do what has to be done. Brent, do you have anything to say on this? Can you comment?
A habeas corpus applies to not only government jailers, but anyone who would falsely imprison or hold somebody to a certain...
That's a good point.
Yeah, and it can, of course, kidnapping applies. That'd be a form of kidnapping, maybe. It may not rise to a criminal level, but you could still file it. Hospitals have been filed against a lot for habeas corpus. I don't know what the outcome has all been, but hospitals have that reputation of holding people, confining them within a room or within the hospital. I snuck out of a hospital one time. I did. I had somebody pull all those tubes out of my body, and long story, it didn't hurt me. I was in there for a kidney stone, I think. But but they were trying to hold me. I left. But they aren't always so cooperative, and it can be dangerous. See, in your case, the police came and they arrested you, and that does happen. It's not right. Then the question comes, what do you do when people do things that crazy? And you hear these stories. But habeas corpus is one of the remedies. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, well, we could do a habeas corpus then. Get a hold of Jim, fill out the paperwork, and I will try to keep an eye, and Jim will alert me to it. We do have one or two supposed to get going. You know, I'm the one that's holding them up because I want to go through all the paperwork we have and update them and because as time goes on, you know, you gain more understanding and you can correct some errors or make things stronger. But I'm really trying to get to that. I'm working on a paper right now that I can't leave, and I'm kind of hope I thought I'd finish it today, but I didn't. And so hopefully tomorrow, if I'm not disturbed, I'll get that paper done. And then the next order of business before I move to anything else is to pursue the habeas corpus paperwork and get it to Jim so we can execute it. So meanwhile, get your paperwork into him and ask for a habeas corpus, on it, and we'll take it from there. But that's a good idea. You know, they are imprisoning her because they're not letting her go. And now you say her son. Your son.
Yeah, my son is alternate power of
attorney. Okay, and they're ignoring him.
They're ignoring me. They won't give me updates to say I can only talk to my son.
Right, but is your son trying to move her, and are they ignoring him too?
Yeah, we put it all in. It was between my brother, myself, and my son, and other family members to have her moved because her original intent was to go to the Mayo Clinic, which is an ALS accredited hospital, and then they just kind of held her. They actually, had intubated her. And I'm not sure if she really even needed it at that time because the doctor before that had said that she was not needing a breathing tube as of yet. But then she ended up crashing, right before we were going to leave. We were going to leave and go to the Mayo Clinic. I said, well, I'll take her out and bring her there. And then she passed out, and then they intubated her and took her up in the other room and kind of held her ever since there. And she's,
I could see this could be a major, major problem because of the way, you know, they want to get everyone to sign those government papers so that, goodness, I forget what they even call them. You know, you go see a doctor, a dentist, anybody, they want you to sign these papers. And which really, you know, is giving the... already, they can't share anything with anyone because that is the law anyway. Okay, so you don't need to sign a paper to make that real. But what you're doing really with signing that paper is saying, well, yeah, don't give this information to anyone unless they've got approval. But also the government can have everything they want, by the way. That's what that paperwork is really all about. I never sign it, and they try to refuse to,
When I went in, I never gave them authority. I didn't sign any papers for them.
Right, but, you know, the natural law, next of kin, has, if the person is unable to make decisions for themselves, if there's a spouse or a child or a parent, whatever, I mean, they have their immediate family. They have the authority. And the hospital cannot overstep that authority. They just can't do it. Although they're doing it because they've destroyed everything. Nothing seems logical these days. You know, everything is statutory and controlled. You know, it's the city law. So,
yeah.
But okay, yeah, get a hold of Jim and get the paperwork in on that, and I'll try to get to that in the next day or two. Definitely won't be able to do it tomorrow, but maybe the next day if I can get the paperwork that I'm working on now done, then I'll move over to that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, let's take our next caller. Back to California again. I don't remember how to. I can't remember how to say the name.
Enrique.
Enrique. Okay.
Yeah, I just had a quick comment on Article 3, Section 1. Judicial powers vested in the federal courts says here that the judges, both the supreme and the inferior courts, shall hold their offices during good behavior.
Amen.
Amen.
Which means if they're in bad behavior, they don't get to hold their offices. The question becomes, how do you get rid of them? It's like they don't know how, and everybody knows how. Congress can get rid of anyone in office by, impeachment, okay? They could do an impeachment, and that could end up with removing that person from office. I was going through the Constitution on impeachment. It's clear. It's just not the president. It is anybody that is elected to office can be impeached. So judges, appointed. Judges are appointed officers of the court. They're appointed. They can be impeached.
That's right.
And if they won't impeach them, guess what? We will. That's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance. We've impeached, 70 or so judges already indictments. So they're being impeached through an indictment, so to speak. So we're doing indictments on them. Because if the government is going to do their job, we'll have to do it for them. We have the right to do it.
That's right. So, we have the duty to do it.
And the duty, yes. These people are tyrants. They should be in jail.
I
hope to see them there so that they can know what it feels like with all the people they've been putting there that don't deserve being in jail. You know?
What they do to our brothers and sisters, it's
amazing. I know.
But there's people like us that are going to take care of it, God willing.
We got to do it. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, let's take our next caller. It's a 5700 area code. You got the mic. Give us your first name and your state.
Hi, John. This is Drew. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Drew in Pennsylvania. Go right ahead, Drew.
I talked to you before about the PFA, Protection from Abuse in Losing County Court. I went in and battled with the judge four times over this PFA. I haven't done anything. They haven't proved I've done anything. However, the last hearing that she demanded I have an attorney, I paid an attorney. When I walked up to the courtroom, and he's standing there with a pen in one hand and a blank paper in the other, and I said, "You're not prepared for this, are you?" He said, "Well, you want me to leave?" I said, "No, the judge requested you be here." So I said, "But don't be surprised if I ask you to leave in the middle of this." So she got the PFA on me 3 years, and the whole thing was perceived threat. A perceived threat. It's how somebody perceives a threat, she said.
Hmm.
So that's what she did. So how do we impeach this judge? Because she just violated my rights. She took all my rights from my granddaughter away from me, which is my blood granddaughter. My wife is only her step-grandmother. It's not even her kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, again, family doesn't mean anything to any of these people. They just don't care. And, they would give your children to strangers before they'll give it to a family member. They do this all the time. I had a situation with my sister who was another state and ran into a situation. This is going about 20 years ago. And I called up and I wanted, they wouldn't even talk to me. And I was a brother, you know.
That. They're not hearing me on this. And the thing is, I already told the lawyer. He said, well, listen, he said, you know, they got this on you. I said, if I was here by myself, they wouldn't have got it on me. And he said, well, $2,500, we can appeal this. I said, I don't want to appeal it. I said, I'm going to go around and I'm filing suit against the county. I'm telling you right now, can I impeach that judge? I'm writing a letter to the president and judge right now. I'll have 100 people rally on that courthouse steps. All these people who get the rights violated, I want to have on them steps in a rally.
Okay, so let me, I kind of remember you, but let me make sure I understand. You know, you were married, and the person you married is not the biological mother or grandmother to the child, right?
Correct.
I guess grandmother.
Yeah,
and you...
Married, 19 years married, raised the kid from 13 years since birth.
Okay, and then when you split, she took custody of the child.
I was at work. She took the kid and left. Yeah, filed okay. A special.
Yeah, and again, you're the, and now mom is incapable of taking care of business, I guess, and
yes,
dad's out of the picture?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so it makes sense.
You did tell me to file a challenge jurisdiction, which I did, and I should have, but I didn't. Could that still be filed even though she already got the order?
You can file a challenge jurisdiction anytime you want, as long as...
I know you said any time, but can it be filed after? That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it would be filed after the actual...
You could file it. You can have a case that's 10 years old and gone and still filed once you discover... remember, there's no statute of limitation. As long as the case could be fresh, the freshness of a case is the only thing that's necessary to keep a case going. In other words, the witnesses and all of the necessary documentations, evidence you got. If evidence is still available and witness is still available, then people have memory of it or whatever, of course, any case. But
they never had
jurisdiction in the first place, so you can challenge that jurisdiction,
and you can even sue
for damages.
I want to do that. Could I do both, though? Could I impeach the judge and file a judge?
Well, you can't impeach the judge. Congress can impeach a judge, but the people can indict a judge, which I'm kind of talking about
How many people would I need to get that had their rights violated that could do this together?
Well, let me think about this a minute.
Because I already have a list.
We can do an amicus curiae for you, and which really challenge the jurisdiction is what we do in that, and then through a joinder. You do a joinder, and then we do an amicus curiae, and hopefully they'll obey the law and do the right thing, and release release the court, stop the court procedure. And then
is there any way for me to get a federal injunction against this PFA and this judge? Because, listen, I'm a state constable, okay? They just stopped me with this PFA from having any firearms. I can't work. I can no longer go to the power plant for the shutdown to make $30,000 in 2 months this year because they check your background, okay? They really cost me a lot of money here. They really damaged me with this whole thing.
You know, the problem is there's no justice in court because there are no courts of justice. And, there are
absolutely
no courts of law. If there's not a court of law, then there's only a court of injustice, ultimately. And it's just tyrants making things up and deciding what they want to decide and whatever, for whatever reasons,
John, I believe what happens here, okay, and I think all these politicians and judges should have psychological tests before they get in there because their egos get so big. When a judge tells me this is my court, she's flinging her hair and she took the rights of my granddaughter off me, okay, after I raised this kid 13 years. I had my lawyer do two things. I said, one, go ask her if there's ever been a police call or an emergency call, an ambulance or a hospital call to that house. 19 years, he asked her. She says, no, never. Okay. So there was never a domestic call, never an emergency visit, anything. Then I gave him a letter. I said, take this, admit this to evidence and use it. It was a letter she left when she left me, you know, she left it on my recliner. It says, oh, listen, we just can't make each other happy anymore. You're a great provider. I appreciate all you've done for all these years, blah, blah, blah. And I never keep your granddaughter from you. Well, he presented that. Did you write this? Did you say it? Yeah. So what happened? Well, it was different. I felt different then. Well, you didn't see him for 6 months. I couldn't see her for 6 months because of the PFA. We haven't even talked.
Well,
so
look,
what changed?
Yeah, look, these people, they're, you know, it just goes on and on. You know, look, you know, reality is the way one perceives it, okay? And, you know, we live in a fiction, a lie, okay? There's so many things that are fake, and how do they get away with it? That's because of what's called outcome-based education. They've been moving our education closer and closer to socialism. And I remember it starting when I was young. I remember I was young, and they took out religious instructions in the public schools, and they started to play games with the Pledge of Allegiance, and then calling, you know, our founding fathers, drunk, white, whatever. I mean, that came a little later, but, you know, they already started to bad-mouthing our founders. And I mean, the whole thing, it's just all the time, you know, get rid of Christmas, took Christ out of Christmas, it's now Xmas, and it just goes, and I remember watching all this stuff, and I remember the arguments, everybody I knew was angry over this, but they didn't care, they just kept on moving. I didn't understand, well, I didn't realize they were moving on against the people, in the sense, because I was a kid, so and I didn't understand any all of that, but I look back, and I see how it's continued to progress. And so, look at the people do not know the Constitution. All the people in government, they don't know the Constitution. Anybody that is brought to it.
Listen, they learn under statutory law. They learn statutes.
They don't even know. Look at, I've talked to lawyers, and I get one say civil, I get another says Roman law. Then they tell me that the common law is actually the decisions of the federal courts. I mean, that's how dumbed down these lawyers are.
The lawyers are part of the courts, okay? They don't have to work in the courts. But here's the thing. They also work together, okay? My attorney, this attorney told me at first, he said, who's the other attorney? I told him, he said, oh, I'll tear her up. He didn't tear her up. He screwed me when he went there. Listen, John, I've already been in lawsuits where I've had one attorney fired from a law firm. I got a judgment from a magistrate against another attorney. I had another attorney disbarred. And now I have another attorney that's 3 years sitting, won't make a move against me because I have in front of the judge already. So I don't really play. I don't play, you know what I mean? I've been dealing with these courts since I was 15 years old. They violated my rights. So I was paying child support since I was 16 years old. And I never denied my kid nothing. But they wouldn't let me see my kid. They would always say, oh, that's a different case. That's a different case. Yeah.
Well, look, there's only one solution to this whole thing, and that is to, they've concealed our common law. They've concealed our natural law courts, literally been concealed. There is no access to it. There's no paper that you can file to get to it. There's no words you can speak to make them obey you so that you go into a court of record. And
they have concealed it.
No, okay, they are guilty.
From what I understand is they do have protection. They do have protection, with the court when you can't really do anything against them. But it's only limited. It's only limited. Immunity. They have limited immunity, okay? There's limited immunity. They make everybody think they have immunity. They really don't.
As long as they're obeying the true law. And even if they make a misjudgment or whatever, then fine. They have immunity as long as they didn't violate and step outside their jurisdiction.
Well, they do violate.
But every single one of them is outside their jurisdiction, so they're
absolutely
all guilty. None of them have immunity. You know, they don't have sovereign immunity. We, the people, have sovereign immunity. We have sovereign immunity. They do not have sovereign immunity. They got clipped immunity. They are responsible.
God, it was funny because this judge told me this is my court, and I couldn't have copies of records I had, and they were transcripts. And you should see the look on her face when I said, no, you're a servant, we're the people. And she should see the look. Sheriff had to tell me four times to shut up. It was so funny. But that was the fourth hearing. That was before the lawyer.
Uh-huh. Well, again, you know, look at they do what they want. There is only one way we can deal with this problem, and that's what we're doing here with National Liberty Alliance. Okay, you know, I'm writing a paper right now to make it clear exactly what our plan is, and I'm going to post that as soon as I get it done. And I might even probably speak on that, some time in the beginning of a program to talk about that specific point, what exactly we're doing, how we plan to do it, you know, all the details, because it's time to get that out.
I want to tell you, just to give you a heads up, I am rallying people in Luzerne County. I'm telling you, I told these folks, I said, listen, you might play with a lot of people, you're going to play with me because I'm coming. I'm selling my house and every single thing in it. I said, I'm going to have nothing. You're going to have everything to lose. I'll have nothing, absolutely nothing. You want to lock me up? Lock me up. Go ahead. Because they did it before. A judge locked me up 6 months for contempt for doing absolutely nothing before. And even the state told me, he said, I can't believe they did that. I said, well, they did. So, you know, that's what it is. But here's the thing.
They get away with murder. These people do whatever they want.
You want to talk about murder? My brother was killed in the county jail because he was drinking and he would fight with the cops. They claimed he hung himself with his sock. No, there's no way it happened. But at his funeral, he had stitches down the back of his head. And I told my sister, I said, that they clocked him. Something happened there. And we know my brother. You know, he's drinking. He went to the hospital to get help because he was drinking, you know. And they called the police. So when the police came, they put him in the police station. And he turned up dead. He hung him on himself in a sock. No, he didn't. No, there's no way. That's a standard thing. I know four people that died in that same police station that claimed the same MO they use every time, that they hung on themselves with a sock. And four people that the same situation happened. I mean, so there's something wrong there, you know.
I mean, look at, they even got to Jeffrey Epstein, and they had two different cameras on him, and they both went defective at the same time.
Both cameras, yeah. You get the odds of that. We live in an illusion. That's what it is, okay? But you got to.
Yeah, and the person responsible for watching him at that time and checking in on him, they didn't check in on him for a long time, and I don't even know what excuse they gave. We don't even hear anything about what's going on. But
it was a one reporting about justice. I don't even hear it anymore.
Justice must come. Okay, if Trump is real in what he's saying, and I do believe he is, of course, that he was elected to give power back to the people, okay, not to take the power, but to give it to the people.
Now that should be his tagline then.
Huh?
That should be his new tagline.
That's true. I don't know how many, anybody who's not in the courts, they don't understand how bad it is. They really don't have a clue. No. And if you tell them, they won't even believe you. Okay, they won't even believe you.
The worst part is, even if they try to tell family or friends about it, if they haven't experienced, they look at you like you're crazy. Like, hey, wait till you got to go there.
yeah. Then they'll see. Then they'll know. But that's the problem. But look at Trump knows. Okay, and we copy Trump in everything we're doing. And if he's going to be successful in giving power back to the people, then we need to have consent of government back. And the only way we can have consent of government is if we control the political process and the judicial process. Once we control those two processes, the people are in charge of the court of law. Judges they deal with equity. They deal with problems in the different agencies and people who are elected or appointed or whatever bureaucrat they may be. They have no say in a court of law. That's the people's court. And God is the king of that court. And in the political side of things, we have the committee man, and there's not an elected committee man in the nation.
John, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. No, you're a religious guy, but you're going to think I'm crazy with this. But I would pray before I went to court, okay? I would pray before I went to court. I took holy water to the court with me, and I said, you know, when I come to the court, God's by my side here. This is the way I'm coming in, okay? This is the way I'm coming in. So I don't fear these people at all, and I don't, okay? And that's exactly the way I feel when I go in there. And it's almost like they don't know what to do with you.
Well, yeah, look, at every time I get down a little bit because this stuff gets to you, or you feel that, they got the better of you and stuff, you know, it's just, you just go back and just rest in the Creator, because look, we're fighting the good fight, okay? What we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance is we are fighting to bring the King of the Court back into the court so we can be back under natural law, his law, so that we can be under his blessings. And in that process, we will become a more moral people.
Right.
If we
but
teach our children these things and strive to have this liberty and to recognize that God gives us these unalienable rights, we start to become a little more humble. We start to teach our children to behave a little more better, and we become more moral, and we become citizens with a duty to give back. We don't have to be required to give back. We'll do it because it's what's right, and we'll be a better nation. We'll be a just nation because our courts are just.
You're absolutely right, John. There's two things I want to say quick, okay, and then I'm going to go. One is, you know, this is excessive what this judge did with a 3-year PFA, and it's a no contact, which means I can't even go contact my granddaughter, resume my marriage, or anything else at this divorce. So they're interfering in my religious liberties because I checked into it, and there hasn't been a Supreme Court case that has won based on that.
And you'd be fighting for years before you get anywhere. Look at.
I don't care. I don't care how long.
Yeah, but look at what we.
This is my goal.
But let me give you some hope, and other people some hope too. What we are doing, I am absolutely convinced. Between now and sometime next year, we're going to win this court back. We're going to do it. There's no doubt in my mind. Okay. And my heart. Of course, I'll have to give it maybe there's a little bit. There'll always be a possibility, but we may go 2 years, but I doubt that. The moment these people are arrested and the deep state collapse, that's their wall of protection. The deep state, when that's gone, there is no more protection for these people, and they will know it then, okay? Right. And then all of these papers that we've been nailing to their front door for the past 3 years are going to start to haunt these people. Yeah. And we hit critical mass, we're going to take it over, and they're going to run, okay? And those who are left there that, you know, kind of was stuck between a rock and a hard place and are more than happy to obey the law, then we'll bring things back to order. We will accomplish that.
You know what? Even with that PSA they got, if there was a no hit, so I still could have had contact, it wouldn't have been so bad. Even my lawyer said, he said, you know, that's really excessive what you did with 3 years when you didn't even do anything. I said, I know. So at any rate, this has to go to the streets. You know, I have friends and some people in other groups who want to do some like rent the seminars with people and start getting these people who had their rights violated together and teaching them, you know, what their rights and all that stuff is. You know what I'm saying?
So well, get them into our course. Government by consent course is what we're teaching. And, you know, I've been struggling to get back to that. I was looking up to see a lot of people have reached the limit of that course, and I forget what chapter we finished up to, but we got a lot more of that. What we've got up there is maybe it may be a quarter of the course, if it's that much. So there's a lot more to go up, and a lot of it is done. It's just that the next section that I really need to get out is what I'm working on, and when I get that next section, the rest will follow very quickly.
I'm going to be honest with you. I met you guys up at the Grotto and Wilkes there, you know, with Doreen and them up there.
Uh-huh.
You guys had notarized that court administrative paper for me, and I went on to do that civil, whatever you had to do there online. It didn't work right with my computer. It was like I couldn't save it, didn't go back. But I was like, you know, I can't. It was just too hard for me to get through, so I couldn't even do it. But I figured I'd try again at one point, but just didn't do it yet.
We got the two courses up there, and I'll tell you the. You know, the one court is a civil court, the civil law. Civil law.
That was a while ago. You might have upgraded everything since.
Oh, extremely. Yeah. Look, if you came in on the earlier time and we were on the older website and we hadn't really had things built up properly yet, and we had a lot of problems and quirks. You know, we were on a shoestring budget. We're still on a shoestring budget.
Yeah,
although we are doing a lot better. You know.
2012, right?
Oh goodness, and that's in the very beginning. Yeah.
Yeah,
because we were moving over. We moved over to National Liberty Alliance either at the end of 2012 or in 2013, and we changed over.
What do I do to get involved with you on that suit and also that amicus curiae? What do I do with that?
Well, go out and fill out the form. You know, you'll find it under abuse of court, and read the page carefully. Come down to the bottom, click on the form, and then fill out the form. And then submit it, and Jim will work on a paper for joining. And once that's done, then he'll create the paperwork for you for and serve for an amicus curiae, where we will challenge the jurisdiction for you. And then they got 30 days, so we give them about 35 days after serving. And then we do a paper to move it to court for cause, for, you know, denying of a proper jurisdiction. You're in jurisdictions unknown, denying of due process, so on and so forth. And then after 30 plus days, we then will file a decision. We may not be too quick to file the decisions, only because, you know, I'm going to have to be more involved with that, and time is hard. So, but maybe by then we'll have someone else trained to be able to do that. You know, we're looking for paralegals, people who can handle that kind of stuff would be really good. You know, we can just lay out the plan and the paperwork, and once a paralegal, you know, understands how we're coming about and the paperwork, the forms, you know, they know how the system works.
Sure.
You know, but you know, at that point, you know, we may go 30 days, 40 days before we file papers, but we're going to start filing the decisions on this. And, you know, we know they'll ignore us, but that's okay. Once it's filed, it's sitting there. And, again, once we get critical mass and they lose their wall of protection and the walls of Jericho sort of fall because of the blasting of the truth being nailed to their front door, well, then at that point in time, you know, it's going to have a meaning.
Well, you know the paper you wrote up that you sent out to all the counties for the sheriffs for their duties and all that stuff.
Yep.
So I got a copy of that, right? So now when I go to court and the sheriff to the court, I hand it to them now. So, because, you know, the last time they...
Yeah, but, you know, it's really sad that they have no relationship in their mind of what they're reading. They feel they can't understand it. You know, look, they have convinced us. We have been convinced from day one that you're not capable of going into a court and dealing with your legal duties. You need to go find yourself your legal things. You need to go find yourself a lawyer. They've taught us the same thing with our you know, relationship with God. You need to find a priest or a rabbi or something.
Sure.
You know, and
right.
No, you can go directly to God.
Absolutely.
You can deal. You need to deal with your own personal needs.
God is omnipresent and omnipotent. So that means he's everywhere. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I tell people. When they tell me that, I tell them that, because somebody just told me that. Well, you should have went to church on Sunday. I said, you know what? I would have, and I do sometimes when I can, but I had to do something else. I said, but you know what? I don't have to be there because he's omnipresent and omnipotent, I think. So.
Well, look, they have really conditioned up to us to a point, and I see this all the time, especially with the sheriffs, okay? You give them a piece of paper, you give them some information, a booklet, whatever, they look at it, and they got to go talk to a lawyer about it. Well, it's just words. Read the words.
Words. Well, you know, I was at a constable meeting last night, and it was crazy because I went, it was 8 o'clock, and I'm going up, and they give me GPS directions. I had to get up there. The GPS took me through the mountains, through these freaking woods. If I get lost, if this shuts off, I'm done out here. So I finally get to the place, and I come to a creek, and I could see the building over there and all their cars. So I text them, and I said, what do I do at the creek? They said, drive through it. I said, are you kidding me? I had to drive through the creek to get there. And it was pretty cool, though. So they're telling me about the sheriff for Columbia County. They said, listen, the sheriff is the one that runs this whole state, all across the whole state. They said, he is so anti-constitution. I said, are you kidding me? I said, we got to send him notices then. You know, we got to send him some information. So
I've heard sheriffs say some things that it's hard to believe that's how far away we are from things. But, and counties that have gotten rid of sheriffs, I mean, you know, they're trying to get rid of counties. All of this is part of who we are. You know, this is the way our structure is. Anyway, I got to move to the next caller.
All right, John, thank you for your time. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's take our next caller. It's a 318 area code. Please give us your first name and your state.
Hi, this is Judson in Louisiana.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. I want to ask, how many successful cases and or trials do we have in place together at this moment that have created joinder with?
Yeah, we've only got a few successful. I mean, we had one IRS success. We had, we had a couple of habeas corpus successes. We really haven't had many successes, but we're looking to win the war. We can lose all the battles as long as we win the war is the key thing. We got to understand, of course, what we're up against. Anybody out there that is saying that they're having success in the court and they're doing this, that, and the other thing, well, I can tell you they're lying, because you're really up against, I don't even know how to say it, RICO on steroids, okay, that's what you're up against. And, you know, you can get you can win in a court occasionally if the judge is a little nervous and realizes that you know, you might pin him in a situation where he may be held accountable. Even though they got this protection, you know, they got a little bit of a leeriness too. They gotta have, because they gotta know what they're doing is evil. They gotta convince themselves somehow, create some kind of a logic in their brain to be able to go on. Either that, or they're just totally immoral and they really don't care at all. But they got to know. We know the federal judges know. They absolutely know. They got this stuff inside and out. I see all of the decisions and rulings that they make. There's no doubt that they know. They push that Rule 3. They push that Rule 12. I mean, and it goes on and on. But anyway, you know, it's a mess.
All right, well, to expound on it more, in regards to one's right to travel versus the privilege to drive, do y'all have any cases that have been, you know?
Well, on those level, we've had a few experiences that were successful. We had one guy that was very successful for a year and a half, and then they finally snagged him, and he's in jail right now. But he was, you know, he's real. He was very rebellious, you know. You know, look, here's the problem. Even in these courts, the first order of business in those places is to, you know, tell them that they don't have jurisdiction. So you challenge the jurisdiction. And then you got to move that along, because they're not going to move it along. The judge is going to tell you he does have jurisdiction. And you got to go back and say, well, you don't have jurisdiction, and you just proved that you don't, because you made a ruling without having a hearing. Once jurisdiction is challenged, it must be decided. And it can't be decided by you. You know, you got all my paperwork in there, and you still ruled against me. You know, I got a case where the other side said nothing, and they ruled against me, but then they got all these points and stuff. But how can you lose a case when the other side didn't even say a word, and they make all these decisions? So they just read the paperwork and made a decision out of their own mind, biasly, and want to do what they want to do. You know, that is the problem. So, but you could challenge a jurisdiction, you can move it along, you can get it up into federal court for cause and so on and so forth. It's a lot of work to do, it's going to cost you money, because they're not going to let you come in without paying the fee, and you're still in another court, not of record, a court of jurisdictions unknown again. And so, you know, it's, I don't know that the battle is worth fighting. The real battle to fight is to take the courts back, get courts of record open, you know, get rid of the concealment of our natural law courts, open them up, let the people take it back, and now let's bring law and order back to this nation. Once that happens, we can bring law and order back into this nation. But we have to fight for it, and it's enduring. And, you know, take George Washington. George Washington lost a lot more battles than he won, but he won the war, and that's the key. And that's where we're at. You know, all the battles, you know, I look at it this way, and I mentioned this just a little while ago. We are nailing the truth of what they are doing to their door. That's why I don't even care if they throw the papers out. That's just another sin for them. We'll keep filing them, and we'll keep putting them everywhere we need to put them. Because we don't just put it in that one court case. We put it into two court cases. And we don't even just put it into those two court cases. We also put it up on our website. We also send it to all 94 federal districts. And we also send it to the United States Supreme Court, both houses of Congress and the Judiciary Committees, the President of the United States, the Justice Department, Barr, Attorney General Barr. It is everywhere. When we've been nailing it to their doors and nailing it to their doors and nailing it to their doors for 3 years now. And when that wall collapses, it's going to be like the walls of Jericho, and they rushed in and took the city. Well, if the people want to take this nation back, and they're preparing for that time, because it's going to happen, okay, the deep state is going to collapse at some point in time, Sooner than later, I believe. I think it's going to be this year, but it could be the beginning of next year, because you can see him working on it. You can see what's going on. It's getting very close. But once that deep state is taken out, all these big shots are arrested, and they start to collapse. That's their wall of protection. They have no more protection. Status quo the rulings no longer have a protection. They're going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. And that's when we will access the courts. But we're going to need critical mass to do that.
All right. Well, what if one took a case to trial and they found one guilty at trial, but upon appeal, it was rescinded, you know, for basically fraud? You know, so, I mean, does it need to still be brought to the federal court level? You know,
I don't understand. You're saying someone was found guilty of something, and then the appeal reversed that. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. That's me.
Okay, so you appealed it, and the sentence was reversed. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they weren't allowing me. It's kind of complicated, but they weren't allowing me the appeal because they were talking about a statute of time limitation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Their jurisdiction's unknown. We have no idea where they're even talking from, and clearly in equity they can't judge, and clearly in law they can't judge, because the law, that belongs to the people to judge out of the hearts. And, you know, equity is really dealing with, you know, again, bureaucrats. It has nothing to do with we the people. So they have no power, no authority. The statutes don't apply. There is no statute of limitation in common law. And you can challenge jurisdiction anytime, even 10 years later. You discover it. As long as you can muster up all of the necessary, evidence to produce and make your case, you got it.
All right. Well,
but again, that's not going to happen until we get common law courts back. You know?
Okay. So. Well, I've actually have some kind of law that I've created through administrative remedy procedures that are being entered on the GTL tablets. And basically, all those administrative remedy procedures, 103 in total, need to be subpoenaed for holding all these people liable. I have various, you know, ones I could read to y'all. Different points, but how would you go about that?
Administrative remedies in what?
Like administrative remedy procedures at a correctional center.
Okay.
Wachita Correctional Center specifically.
Uh-huh.
And going for administrative remedy over and over, and then not giving justice.
Yeah, but remember, it's all part of them. It's all part of their process. It's all them. It's all evil. There's no justice. There's no fairness. There's nothing there. It's just them. That's the only thing there is them. And so, look, you can win in court if you're very careful, but it also depends on the judge. You know, you could have a really hard-ass judge that just, he doesn't care about nothing. Doesn't matter about anything, okay? I mean,
right.
But you might get a judge that feels that he's in a situation where he may be at risk, that he's, could fall into a problem here and then do the right thing. That's happened to me already, okay?
All right, well, I'd like to read a little bit of this and get you to kind of volley off of it a little bit.
Well, maybe another time, because we only got about 10 minutes and we got three more callers in the queue. So maybe next time.
May I read just the titles at least?
Sure, how long it'll take? A minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Should be less than that. An extraordinary written remedy as an objection to the order dismissing the sovereign's notice of appeal non-statutory and to ignoring an extraordinary writ for remedy as a writ of mandamus non-statutory. All right. And let's see. That goes on. So basically, this is in regards to the right to travel, and that's how that worked out.
Well, we've done numerous writs ourselves. Mandamus has given orders to the court. We've also given orders to the court to give other lower court orders, and they refuse, reject, deny. We did habeas corpuses. We've done a lot of those type of things, and again, the courts ignore them. They just ignore them. And again, once in a while, you can get success. It happens, but it's rare. That's why I say people need to really put their energies into taking the court back and reopening our natural law courts again. And that's what we're trying to do. That's our battle. Meanwhile, if you're stuck in a case, there's all kinds of way that you can kind of stall that if you feel that you're in jeopardy. You know, there's all kinds of things you can stall and get more time and things and put things off. And hopefully we will, be successful early enough so that no real damage has come to people, especially people facing jail time, you know. But, okay, with that, let me take the next caller. Appreciate it, Justin.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, Ann from, is that Oklahoma?
Hello.
Ann?
Hi. Yes, from Oklahoma City. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead, Ann.
I have a question. If you're a paralegal, who do I talk to about helping out?
You're what? You're a paralegal?
Yeah. Been a while.
Yeah, we're looking for paralegals that want to give us some help. Get a hold of Jen. You can find him. First, his email address is Jan, J-A-N, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay.
I'm familiar with it, yes. I've been in touch with him.
Okay, and he's got a phone number. Then you know his phone number's up there under the directory. He's away right now, but he'll be back next weekend. But you can send him a message, tell him you want to get involved, and we'll connect, and you and I will probably connect and talk a little bit. We've got other people, you know, working together, and, you know, wherever you can help us, we're looking for help everywhere.
Okay, good. I have a question real quick. There was a case that was here in Oklahoma City, someone who was really, really railroaded bad, totally false charges. And sent to prison. Michelle Malkin, I don't know if you're familiar with her or not, did a piece about it. It guy was Daniel Hope Claw.
Yeah, isn't she she's with Fox News, Michelle?
Yes, she was. Yeah, I think she's a contributor or something.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, she is in prison now, and you know, the way they did this whole thing, they just, any piece of evidence they had, and they've even got it on camera where they just threw the evidence in one envelope, all pieces all together. It was all bogus. The whole thing was bogus from beginning to end. And now that he's in prison, what could be done? Like, I mean, I don't know, get in touch with their family and see if they could get involved here. Would that be...
Well, yeah, we can try to do some paperwork if someone connected to them has access to them and they're interested in having us do something. We can challenge the jurisdiction with an amicus curiae. We can join the case to ours, and we can make decisions. And at some point in time, those decisions are going to have to be honored. I've gotten to the point, I don't care what they do with the paperwork anymore. We filed them. We've done what was right. We served them correctly. Or adequately, anyway, and we filed them in numerous places, and it's there, and it's going, at some point in time, the law has got to come back, as long as the people are persistent to make it come back, and then that is going to have some effect. All of these indictments are going to, you know, take effect. All of these cases are going to take effect. Restitution is going to take effect.
Yeah. I believe it. This is the year of the boomerang. I'm sure mm-hmm. believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure believe in it. Okay, well, I will get in touch with Jan.
Yeah, get in touch. Like I said, he'll be away till next weekend, but, send him an email and just wait for him to get back. We'll give him a call when he gets back. So, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Ann. Okay, let's take our next caller. It's a 910 phone number, 523. You got the mic. What's your first name and your state? 910-523. You got the mic. One more time for 910-523. All right. We'll have to take on last caller after that. Okay, one other caller coming in is also a 910 number, 880. 910-880. What's your first name and your state?
It's Dan, and then the Carolinas.
How you doing?
Fine. How about you, Mr. John?
Good, thank you.
The other number, I'm in the same office at, and that individual is absolutely just completely zonked out, I mean, gone to sleep.
Hmm.
But that party and I, his name is David out of the Carolinas, we had, and I don't know whether Mr. Chance informed you, but last Monday night, we had a tremendous conference with Mr. Brent Allen Winters. And the mix-up occurred, and Jan was explaining it to me later, that we didn't realize that there was a new conference number to dial in. And nor did Mr. Brent either.
Uh-huh.
And so I will tell you, we had one heck of a conference with him. And I will tell you, respectfully, we won't have to go lengthy here at all. And he asked of us, and I've been in due diligence to extract the what I call the legacy, the backbone of these purported deeds, and then the original deeds of merit. That's registered in Brunswick County Register of Deeds, by the way. So I put together, and I was working on this late tonight even, and all this week, and for the benefit of hopefully you and Jan's aware of this, I don't know your email, but I know Jan's, and I'm guessing that Mr. Brent's, he told me to go inside his website. And, of course, that's commonlawyer.com, as you would know.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in there to a point where /?page=contact. And I'm not found anything yet that resembles Mr. Brent Allen Winters, but what I'm finding is the email in there. And all I know to do is send it from what I've seen, but it doesn't seem to be. It seems to be some other third party.
You went to commonlawyer.com? I know Brent's on the line. He's still here probably. But you went to commonlawyer.com?
Yes, sir, I did, just like he instructed us last Monday night. /?page=contact. And one of the emails starts with I-N-N. I won't divulge this over this network. But, I mean, when you go in there, this is what I found, and I'm not going to say it over the network. And then there's another starts with, like, R-A-Y, somebody, another. I don't know. I'm
okay, I'm at his site right now, commonlawyer.com, and I see his picture here. Now, you put a forward slash and a question mark after that?
That's the fastest way I know to get to the area where I searched all the way through there. /? To the right, /?page=contact.
Okay.
Now, it gives a physical address, which is courtesy.
Yeah, right. If you click the button right on his blue bar on the top, you hit contact, you get right there, you get contact information.
Well, I understand. I just sort of quoted you, but I wouldn't quote that email over this phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean. This man gets enough people, you know, and stuff, but the email doesn't seem to be correlation to, you know, Brent Allen Winters. It looks like it's some other third parties that
I don't think so, but, you know, if Brent's not on, maybe next week we could bring it up to him, but I'm sure it looks okay, I'm looking at it.
I'll tell you what, I'll close with this, but if you can get him to contact Mr. Jan. We've got it in PDF format, and it's per as best we can of the questions that Mr. Brent was asking of us last Monday night. Both I and David, both out of Carolinas, were on the phone, and he zeroed in on this particular case, and he was pretty personal with David about this all the way through, and me too, as far as that goes. But anyway, he told me to go inside his website, and all I can find, I'm going to just say this, there's one of the emails is INN, and I'm not going to say any more.
Yeah, I first see that. Three letters. Yeah.
Then there's another one says R-A-Y dot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I can find in there. And I'm not going to say the whole either one of them, the whole
well,
email.
On the, Brent, are you here? Brent's here. He'll pick up the mic. But I'm looking at the front page, and on the bottom of the front page on the right, it said, Brent Allen Winters neither owns nor maintains this website designed by Elegant Themes.
Right. I've seen all that.
The site. So I don't know what that means. But
I got you. Listen, let's see if you can understand. Mr. Jan knows and is aware, and he explained to me, he got a chuckle out of it. He got a chuckle when he found out. He said, this first time ever in our history, Dan, that we were having two different conferences simultaneously that last Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Brent didn't know. And so we ended up a tremendous conference. And, boy, we're so indebted with you.
You know, when we changed places last time, we did
yes.
put someone out to go into the old room to let everybody know that didn't get the memo, so to speak. I don't know why we didn't do that. I didn't think to mention it, and I guess Jan didn't think of it, so, you know.
It's okay. Listen, I'm not trying to – it's late, and I don't want to keep you, but I am saying you could help us when – in the morning, I'm going to send, as Mr. Jan's expecting – I'm going to send this PDF format, and there's four. The documents are such as high perfection to give the first authorized deeds and then of legitimacy and then the purported deeds and a backbone of a legacy. When you see this, it's highly professionally put together, and it's documents that are paraphrasing and showing a paper trail out of which comes out of the register of deeds of Brunswick County, the register of deeds, but is totally criminal enterprise at work, taking this young man's inheritance. And so it's intended, Mr. Jan knows, hopefully that you'll get to see this through Mr. Jan. And simultaneously, I'm going to send it to these other, at the same time, I'm going to send it to Mr. Brent at the emails that I have that's inside of that website.
Well, yeah, if you get it to Jan, you'll get it to me. I don't really give out my email or phone number. I used to, but
I don't
do that anymore because I just can't keep up with it. And we have a lot of people that can deal with the different situations, you know.
Right. One last thing is, it has got to a point, and Jan has this. I don't know whether he sent this to you, but I professionally prepared, and I use that word again, and not using it lightly either. It took a lot of due diligence to come with this particular notice, and it's a notice to a town, and it says no trespassing, passing, and then it says, it's got a little tilde in front of the word caviar emptor. And then a little tilde at the end. That's the second part of my notice. And then it goes on in there, and it talks about the particular three different estates that I oversee, and I won't quote them on this conference here. But a copy of this, I had to downsize it, and then from the downsize, then it is sent, and Jan's got a copy of this. It's very simple, one page. I had noticed this particular town that's been trespassing, and I'll close with this because we are past 12, and has circumvented, as what I've reported to you, the laws even laid out by the legislators of North Carolina, and this town has continuously trespassed on inside of it's a very sizable tract inside of an island, and it's 830 acres and has to do with my grandfather's estate, which is the 830 acres in foul play, and my father's estate and my mother's estate. It's the same three estates, but the same amount of land to the penny, to the boundary, whatever, sort of the property. and there's foul play in there, and I had a meeting with this town in closing with you so we don't keep you. And Jan is aware of this, what's ongoing, and I had to speak to those jokers on October the 7th on a Monday night, was 2 weeks ago, and address that particular town. And then subsequently after that, on about the 15th or 16th, we were supposed to meet on the 15th, and that night when I was on the 7th before that board, they told me, the mayor of and the whole board told me to get with the town administrator. It finally occurred on the 16th, and at that moment, I had three different areas of topics to deal with that town, but at final straw, reluctantly, I had to serve that town administrator with the document that you and Jan have been sent. And it's no trespassing, caviar, mTOR, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what I am saying to tell you, I've told you all this to say this to you, please, as soon as you can, I sort of beg of you, we have needed and we've been knowing how busy and due diligent you've been, and boy, we're so appreciative of your work now. The situation is where I'm at 11th hour here to get what is called a common law land trust. And I've got my affidavit. By the way, I sent a document that I wanted you to have a chance to brief over. Hope you put your blessings to it. And I prepared the documents years ago and noticed that town. I plan on, if you guys put your blessings on it, sending that red tag through the post office. It's within hollowing distance where I'm talking right now in this town, and then send it to the Secretary of State, and they already know they're waiting, and they know that I want to there pay for the recording, and then from there with the Secretary of State, Miss Elaine Marshall, they know me. She knows me pretty well, my family. So from there, it goes to the federal government, to a special officer, and then it comes back. We have had conversation with you, gosh, 6 or 8 months ago, I don't know, about this. Mm-hmm. And it's about the affidavit. And I've got an example with Jan that if you put your blessings on it, I'm going to get her cranking, and I'll have to notarize it, by the way.
All right, well, what we'll do is when Jan gets back, I'll talk to him about this, and maybe we can get a call together and see where we go.
Can you be able, I'm telling you, I'm under the 11th hour, can you possibly be able to get a hold of Jan? Because in the morning I'm going to send these documents of my friend, and already in the last several weeks I've sent this other stuff that I was telling you about my
Send the papers to intake at nationallibertyalliance.org, and also send it to Jan. Jan may call me. You know, I'm sure he's got a laptop with him. He's traveling, and he can probably get it and get it to me. But at least it'll go over to Jim, and when Jim gets it, he's probably listening in. When Jim gets it, he'll get it to me, or I'll mention to him tomorrow if he's already off the call.
And just so you know, because it is 10 minutes after 12, I want you to get some rest. Just so you know, you could send a memo to Jan if you can't get him on the phone. He's already got this notice, but he's also already got, it's including the North Carolina House of Representatives out of Southport, North Carolina, very important in drafting or assisting the draft of the a bill that strikes out. No city or municipality in North Carolina now can draft an involuntary annexation document. It would take unanimous of the parish or the subdivision, and this man's documents and who he is has been sent at least 2 years ago to a certain town administrator. I'm not going to call the name, but that person's no longer with that town. And I had to speak to this town about that, and a former town administrator on top of that, that this town is totally circumventing and violating their trespassing and been so for many years now on my family's estate.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I
right,
told you,
well,
I'll post.
Let me take a look
right
at it, and we'll try to have a conversation.
You remember, all right, I'll close right here. You remember I told you on many occasions how my parents had paid off the mortgage and indebtedness on this 830-acre tract? You may remember this. I'll leave you with that.
Okay.
And we've never had the recovery. So I've addressed this to two towns, and I'll talk to you, you know, at some point about this.
Okay.
But we are under a due diligence now to get that common law.
All right, just get I got your phone number here, but whatever's a good phone number, put it on that paper, and maybe we could talk during a week sometime.
Thank you, sir. Thank you,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir, I know we're getting late here, and we need
okay.
to end this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Yes,
okay,
sir,
so we're going to end the program tonight. Thanks, everyone, for coming. Lord willing, we'll see you next week. And again, next week, I'm not sure what the topic will be. It may be that we will focus in on the committee man, but there are some other things we might want to cover first. But we do want to put a lot of focus, at least starting next month. I mean, we really want to hit it hard and try to get people involved in the committee man process. Okay, good night, everybody. Till then.
Yeah.